This is Hugh Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. This show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, I'm not exactly sure how all of this is going to work, if any of it is going to work. But so far, I can hear me.
Check two, two,
I can hear Kat.
Oh, good. Hello.
Al Perkins is here.
I don't think I need the mic, though, for you to hear me.
Well, that's true. But it helps in the studio. And as usual, Marnie Ryer's seat is not filled. But that is for an entirely different story tonight. We had a very huge storm in the Valley of the Sun yesterday, making it the Valley of the Flooded and people without electricity. And Marnie still doesn't have power and is under a deadline for work, so she is not going to be joining us tonight. But who knows who's going to step in and visit? Michael might, Jason might, nobody might. Very busy. Mom, you'll be very happy. Al is scarfing on the cheese dip like crazy. He likes the old
cheese
dip.
It's going to be a very quiet show.
It was a long road uphill to get here. Could you be a lamb and pass me a paper towel?
She needs a paper towel.
Mama needs a napkin.
There you go.
Oh, the dip is delicious, by the way.
Oh, it is. Very nice. Thank you, Mom. She wanted to have a special treat for this evening's return. Almost was a month off because I didn't have power until, was it 2:30 this afternoon here at the old studio, so... It was almost a month of no shows, but we managed to get through it. So welcome one and all, whoever's in the chat room. Brand, Amina, Mama Di is there.
I'm glad the power came on. Our people would have revolted.
My gosh, I was getting emails and
I was getting text messages. And
where the
Facebook
hell are you
things.
People?
What am I going to do with my Tuesday night?
Yeah.
I was waiting for Bear's reaction though every week because it was cracking me up.
It was funny. I agree. Oh, my heavens. So anyway,
slams down vase, storms off.
Temper tantrum.
Just like the AOL chat.
I said to Mom earlier, she stopped by to bring in that cheese dip, and I said, for those of you who may remember previous shows, we were having some technical difficulties with some supers and graphics and cameras, and so I have been working on that in and out over the past few weeks, and I said, well, Mom, I said, I don't think we're quite ready. We're going to have some technical issues. She goes, well... That's pretty normal for your show, isn't it?
Yeah, show, right.
The show should be called The Glitch with Clayton McKee.
Please stand by.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Good luck. Yes. So, anywho, we are here. So, if technical things become part of the evening, well, just roll with it, people, because we don't have any...
Live with it, fuckers.
Yeah.
I mean that in a loving and nurturing
the
way.
The nicest way possible.
Oh, that's still having all kinds of problems. I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what the hell's wrong with the what is it? What do you call it?
Tune in radio app.
I don't know what they call it. It is.
I just call it by its given name.
I understand, but for some reason it's having some sort of a speech impediment, stuttering issue tonight, and it's not working well. But you can.
But you got to remember everything around us. There's a lot around us that still has no power.
True.
So Lord knows what.
Yeah, like 27,000 people in Central Phoenix still without power. Encanto will not have it until tomorrow sometime.
So much for Land of Enchantment.
If you are used to listening to us on the TuneIn app and you cannot get us, you can't watch us on the Ustream, which is working, just go to the Q Talk America page, click the Listen Live button, and that player will stream it from any device that you care to have in your little hands. Ooh, hi! Gosh, we're back.
It's here. There's liquor.
In about 10 win-win. Minutes, it's going to feel like we've not missed a beat. God, another but show.
Yeah, I gotta gotta liquor it up a notch, though.
Right. Oh,
I've been dry for no real reason.
Well, no, not completely, because you took a trip and you had some good times.
Yeah, and then I came back and I had a glass or two of champagne with Carlton over a week ago, and then just haven't been back to the well since.
Gotcha.
But it was a lovely, lovely trip with laughter and tears and screaming and liquor and.
Oh, all the good things.
Kayaking and... Yeah, so it was a nice resolution to all those things that we were talking about leading up to it. I was a little stressed going into the going away, strangely. Just
really?
Because I think I was just so stressed back here.
Okay.
And, you know, we were talking about, like... And you're going back and you're seeing people you haven't seen in a while. And some of them have been a couple years. And looking at all those old pictures. And I had all those weird things. And then everything was pretty much just easy and simple and fun. And everybody that I chose to see was a good time. And... learned about that Mama does not play well in humidity. I can't.
No, mm-hmm. not anymore.
It's not okay.
No, it is not okay.
It is not okay.
Isn't there a hashtag?
Now, I was also confused. I thought because the week or so prior to your departure, Tim had gone, and it was like a reunion, class reunion or something?
We missed the class reunion.
Okay, because I thought that's what you were going for.
Because they, because of how we picked this week and they picked the week for the class reunion, like, I was in limbo as to when I was going to go home. Mm. And then finally it was like, okay, I got to roll the dice here and pick when this is happening. You know, I have a couple trips planned already, mm-hmm. and I can't just keep flying back east every 6 days. So they just picked a bad week for it, for my schedule. But everyone seemed to have a lovely time. And then we ended up having a little reunion. Tim went a few days before me and left a few days before I left. Mm. He came back here, stayed at my house. I went on to P-Town in the Kennedy Killer.
Oh, the little plane. I saw you post the picture behind
The Rose Kennedy Memorial black dress and veil Airlines.
Well, it also could be the John F. Kennedy Jr. Airlines.
Oh, no. And we were right over the waters where we lost John. So that was a little
scary.
Yeah. And on the way, it was lovely. Like, you get to Logan, and my boarding pass said seat 22A or 22B. So I'm like, oh, okay. This is like one of those one-by-one planes where the stewardess sits directly in front of you, like her back, her chair folds down from the cockpit door.
The whole time, right?
And she just stares you down and like throws peanuts at you, like you're some kind of a fucking monkey in a cage. So I was okay with that because I'd been on a couple, and they're prop jobs, but I'd been on a couple. I thought 22 aisle sounded a bit grand, but all right. I'm like, I usually try to sit in the back of the plane by the bathroom because, you know,
you never know. Right?
Mama's got a little bit of a bladder problem. She drinks.
Good to know. Good to know.
she drinks.
She keeps a bathroom handy at all times. So then I get to Logan, and I'm thinking it's still going to be part of JetBlue because that's who I booked with, but they just have a partnership with Cape Air, which is what the TV show Wings was based on.
Oh,
literally
sure.
This uh-huh. airline, but they were set in the Nantucket branch,
right,
where I was flying to P-Town. And so you get there, and I was like, my luggage gonna make it? Like, do I need to go get my luggage? They're like, no, you're checked all the way through to P-Town. Everything's good. And then I hear, Alfred Perkins, please report to the desk. And I was like, did I win something? They had to weigh me. They had to weigh my purse.
I'm sure you were already angry at this point.
Oh, I was like,
what do you mean you're weighing me?
You're like, I'm never flying this airline again.
And then they come and they actually get you, they walk you down the stairs, and you're marched along this green pathway outside.
Okay.
Through their little, like, 20 little tiny Cessna plane airlines. And then they line you up because they've weighed you, and they tell you, like, where you're going to sit. And see, so there was another guy that was about my size, and they said, like, you can have the cockpit chair or you can have the emergency exit. And I'm like, I'm going to take the exit chair.
Mm, sure.
And then it just ended up being kind of funny as we're on the plane and we're flying and everybody was kind of like joking and giggling and a little nervous to be on this plane. But I'm taking pictures and stuff because it was beautiful. There's windows all around. There's 10 people on the plane. And so the guys behind me were a little nervous at takeoff because you're behind what looks like a jumbo jet. It's just a little JetBlue 737. But mm-hmm. when you're in a tricycle.
Right.
With wings.
When you're in a paper airplane.
Yeah, it seems gigantic.
Looks enormous.
Ginormous.
So we're all a little nervous. And so the pilot just turns around. He's one of 10 passengers. He's in seat one.
They weigh him?
Yeah, well, but they have to know how much he weighs because that's right. How you determine who sits next to him.
That's how we didn't lose. Sure. We should not have lost little John.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're like looking around and everybody's kind of laughing and taking pictures and giggling and a little nervous. And I looked at the guys behind me. Well, the pilot turns around and he goes, everybody know how to work a seatbelt? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, well, this guy has the fire extinguisher. And he's good. Like, that guy back there has got the emergency exit, and there's another exit somewhere. And he said something about life preservers that I didn't catch.
I'm going to guess seat bottom.
Immediately regretting good that guess. I didn't catch where that fucking, as we fly out over the water, I'm like, damn it. Can we review that again?
Where are the life preservers?
Somebody tap him on the shoulder. Get the info. So I look at these two gay guys behind me. I look at the two gay guys behind me, and I'm like, listen, I just want to tell you, we're not all going to survive this, so I'm going to save my purse. There's no way we're all going to survive, so I'm just going to take my purse out the door. So, good to know you.
Good thinking.
So, we had a laugh, and we ended up taking a cab together, and we landed in the just slightly bigger than this room airport.
Sure.
Where you walk behind this...
It's one part... 1 hour photo development.
Yeah. Seriously, it is. But you stand behind this like steel, stainless steel counter, and they throw the luggage at you. That's the baggage claim.
Good. Hmm.
Like you can see the plane from where you're standing, and they literally throw it on there. Like you can hand it to me, bitch. Actually, you couldn't because my bag weighed as much as the plane. But coming back again, like I was like one seat behind the co-pilot, and I was like, it was pretty. But that one, you couldn't, like, somebody was off balance on weight, so they had to take all of our carry-ons and bags and, like, everything but your phone had to go in to balance out the wings of the plane. Sure. And it was a cloudy day, and we went into the clouds, and, like, this is how we lost John John. So I'm like, do you know how to fly instruments? Can you go, in, you know, because, you know, they call it instrument flying because you can't, there's no more visibility.
Yeah.
Not as pretty, kind of scary. But it was a fun trip. Fun trip. And I kind of missed y'all.
I mean, honest.
I don't want to oversell.
Wow,
it.
The summary of that whole story was kind of missed y'all.
Like, I could do without you guys, but I'm glad you're back.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
You needed a laugh, a little sarcasm,
a little up, a little down.
Yeah,
it all comes to you. And oh my God, so much has happened in the world in the brief 3 weeks we've been away.
Oh,
a lot
Jesus.
Has happened.
Many
continuing
things.
To go on in spite of court orders and.
Well, I had to fly out on the night of the Republican debate, so
yeah,
trying to watch that shit. I was trying to like pack God. And get everything done.
I've only seen the bad lip reading version, which is hilarious.
Oh, I'm dying to watch that.
Oh my God, you have to watch that one.
I watched the entire thing.
Did you?
The entire thing. I did not watch the pre one with the five monkeys that don't get to play.
That one I saw all of.
But the other one, the full one where the real clown car showed up, that one was, it was just interesting as hell to watch it.
Well, clown car number one was actually not a bad debate, all in all. Like, because Trump wasn't there to suck all the, and they weren't.
For his clown show.
Yeah, suck all the energy of the room. They actually talked a little bit more about issues. It was a little bit more.
Oh,
it seemed
good.
More serious. It seemed more like one of you might actually govern. So what'd you do? What'd you do while you were kind of missing me?
Drink.
That a girl.
When you worked, I saw you posted here and there.
You know, I work occasionally. No, the kids went back to school the very beginning of August, which is wonderful.
I hear more than excitement in your voice for that.
That's really very
the
nice.
The party's over.
Time to drink, ladies. No, and we did the first day of school. I did. I contacted a local brewery in Four Peaks in Scottsdale, and I said, "Hey, I'm bringing like 20 moms with me, and we're coming for lunch. Like, so you know, we're loud, and there's a lot of us. So put us to the side." And they have this wonderful upstairs space, and like double that ended up showing up. And I was like, "Oh well, I'm glad we got our own space because these ladies have been dying for a drink all summer." Yeah, I'm slowly like letting them know, like one at a time, with very just. Kid gloves that I've hashtagged them the boozy moms.
Like you do.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I feel like if I just tell them en masse, then they'll be, like, super offended. But, you know, if I just take them by the
hand
one at a time.
And make it seem like you personally invited them into the hashtag boozy moms
club. Welcome to hashtag boozy moms. Come right in. Let me hold your hand. No, but very fun. And so we've been very busy, you know, being active in the school and putting out little fires and crises and getting set up for a successful school year. And... Yeah, and drinking in the middle of all that. That's
good times.
August is over.
Yeah, I know. I know.
We sit right here at September 1st of the year of the 2015.
And allegedly the second hottest August ever on record for...
that I believe.
For Arizona. Where do we come? Where am I? Arizona. And it was funny because one day somebody was like, "Oh, somebody says it's really hot in Arizona." And I'm like, for real? The weather in a hot day in Arizona is making national news.
I call it copy and paste meteorology.
Yeah.
Yeah, today's forecast, hot and sunny. Tomorrow's forecast, hot and sunny.
More of the same.
Copy paste.
And people are like, "Oh, do you miss it?" I'm like, it's a damn shot better than this shit you got going on here with 86 degrees with 89% humidity, and you're in a walking town and you're just walking up and down one. There's just one street, really.
Right.
There may be more, but I've never seen them. You're just walking up and down this one street. And it's the buildings, lovely as they are blocking that fucking breeze from coming in over that little harbor. And you're like, tear that building down. Like, what was that show called? Like, drive that bus off or pull that bus away.
Oh,
or,
Extreme Home Makeover.
Yeah, I mean, you're just like, move that bus.
There it is.
I was like, somebody take a wrecking ball to these houses. Like, build on the other side of the road and let us enjoy that breeze. Mm. So as soon as, like, you'd get to a block between build, like, a little break between the buildings, you're like, oh. But, so, and then it didn't rain until the second time I had to get on the Kennedy Killer. But, oh, my God.
Yeah.
It was hot. And then at night, the Friday night, and it was pretty because I took a couple pretty pictures, but it was like misty and almost foggy with how humid it was,
mm-hmm.
and still like a warm summer night. And all I did was like walk back and forth, like took some stuff back to the house that we rented and brought somebody back their GoPro. No, that was the selfie stick.
Oh, I love a selfie stick.
I'm like, mother.
We know you do. There's one right there.
Fuckers.
She's ready at any moment.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was the bell of the ball.
They're very fun in like group outings and
that's what it came out really fun.
Yeah, it turns out really fun for like a special occasion, like if you're going to lunch with a bunch of people or if you're, you know, traveling, but not so much like the touristy stuff because then that just ruins everybody else's time. But if your activity focus is the people that you're with, then the selfie stick turns out to be really fun.
Yeah, and it it really was. I met up with some friends that I hadn't seen in years and years and years. I had met them through other friends in Mexico. They happen to be, one guy happens to have a house in P-Town, like right on the water, and he's building, he's remodeling. His name is George, very sexy, very nice, really friendly. So I ended up like, you know, hitching my wagon to them for a day. And then the last night, some of my friends...
Because you wanted to ditch everybody else. Oh. I've heard part of this story.
Oh, yeah, Jesus Christ. As we played Long Day's Journey and Tonight Meets Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf.
Oh, my God.
On a fucking boat. But, oh, Jesus. It was crazy. So as that last, like, misty, steamy night, we're, like, walking down the street, and you're watching the dregs of humanity just kind of... Everybody knows they're leaving the next day. And there's the people that I had spent the carnival day with the guy that I was with, and we were all like talking and laughing, and then all of a sudden the selfie stick came out and we got a really fun picture on the curb, and it was just a random night, and like that just doesn't happen anywhere, and like, you know what I mean, it's such a magical little place. But it was so much fun to just be walking down the street, and someone that you met a couple nights ago at a bar that you ended up standing next to and laughing, or somebody that you met at that was at the next table at the restaurant, or friends of friends, and you're just waving and chatting as you walk up and down this one street, like, more than three times as cruising. You know what I mean?
It's like going to Flagstaff.
Yeah. Well, kind of. Like a little college town.
I like it.
Do they bust you in Flag for going past the same point in multiple times?
Well, no, there's those signs over there. Usually by malls. You know what I mean? I don't think anybody does that anymore. But remember that old 90s
so
thing?
I do remember
like,
that old thing. Like, you couldn't just, like, cruise up and down.
Yeah, because then you were looking for trouble.
Yeah.
And Clayton McKee, what would you like to divulge about your month of August?
Well, I spent a lot of time working on this computer, and I love how everything works wonderfully as in a perfect environment as I'm sitting here. And then the whole goddamn thing just choked, and we lost all video. So if you're watching, yeah, Mom, I know, you just got kicked off Ustream, so... Yeah.
She probably can't hear you either. Perhaps we should type to her.
I don't know. Type to her. I'm working on getting all this put back together. But it's a challenge, and no matter how many times you try to do the good thing,
yeah,
you still get fucked in the ass.
So tell us about what they're not seeing on video right now.
Al's in a green shirt.
No. Like, what are the?
Oh, did we get our
well, I guess just
video
what is
shots
that?
Back again?
I'm working.
Have the
this
people
is a,
that
this
were
is all, we're rebooting.
At them?
We're still okay. Rebooting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No.
Prior to the reboot, was there?
There was a quad shot.
The quad shot.
Yeah,
oh, that's
that
so
was
very
happening.
Exciting. So,
yeah.
Where are these hidden cameras? I only see
no. There's no hidden. You're looking at them. There's one there.
Uh huh.
There's the ones that are normal ones. So we have two shots. That's our overhead because I can't plug that one in.
Okay.
Because it freaks out the system.
But it very cleverly takes this one shot of two people and then splits it.
Yeah, but we're
so
back.
That you each have your own square.
Oh,
like the Brady Bunch.
Like the old four shot.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was the old like the old.
It's
show.
The story.
Yeah.
Of a man named Brady.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that. Oh, you did. You put that at the rebooting. That's good.
I'd like to inform the people that can't actually listen to us why they can't listen to us.
And then the weird thing about this is that, like, I was listening to a show that we're commenting about audio troubles, but the show that plays later
has no troubles.
No, no audio.
All of this will happen.
Yeah. Happens.
Oh, are one of these two mics on by any chance?
What?
No, I'm just wondering.
Oh, no. It has nothing to do with mics.
Okay. All right.
No, the three mics for the three people.
Well, it'll
are
be
here.
Fascinating when you listen back later.
The chat room is very helpfully trying to help us troubleshoot.
Well,
you're
not doing us any favors.
Well, you know what? I told Amina to go ahead and come on down.
Oh, yeah, get right over. Come on over.
Help us troubleshoot.
Give us just a second. Let's see if we can get this goddamn thing back up.
Goodness gracious.
You know, when it was just a podcast and we were just audio, it seemed it was a simpler time. And then Joe decided, let's do video. And everybody's like, oh, it's great to see you. It's so much more fun. And now we're saddled with this shit. And I can't make the goddamn thing work anymore.
I suppose we could always go back in time.
And I've never...
I don't know if that'll work.
I've never watched the show back. Isn't that funny?
A couple times I did, and then I lost interest in it. I used to listen to it all the time, too, and I don't. No. I don't have trouble sleeping like you do, Al.
I don't either when I listen to this.
Well, this one's going to be a humdinger too. I can tell.
Well, if you're now try your Amina, don't try to get all technical on me. Are you using Ustream Producer? Yes, I'm using Wirecast is the software that we use, but for some reason it freaked out.
Aha, now it worketh. They say, oh, wave to the
she
people.
Went Shakespearean.
Hello, people.
Try
hello.
Again. Maybe mom.
We're not sure where we're looking.
I was
I'll say, you're there.
Well, I know, Cat's but am there. I looking directly Al's at there. It? Or
I think I went to the right camera.
You look directly at
directly
it.
Until
at
I
it?
Was absolutely sure I'd stop sweating, I was keeping your video, Jeff. Until that my glow.
Hashtag magic powers.
GCPs.
Magic. So again, so what about you? What's up? What's doing? What are you up to?
I'm eating cheese dip right now.
Chewing. Crunching.
Trying to get it all figured out.
I hope Molly's listening.
There's a lot. Why? Oh, because she lives out.
Crunch.
Good for you, Molly. Wait, Molly's been all over the country. Where the fuck is she doing?
I don't fucking know.
She's been posting from all over the place. She was in Cisco. She was in Chicago. She's on tour, it seemed.
Oh. She is. Pushing her shit all over the place.
Maybe it's her farewell tour. Maybe she's Cher.
Exactly. Maybe.
This
maybe
time it's personal. Cher, the farewell tour, part 9.
Yeah. Here you come again. Mixing it with Dolly Parton. We're looking for answers in the forum. Audio's not working now. They might be net slowed down. They seem to have the answer. Well, Amina, if they have the answer for you, put it together in a nicely condensed worded letter and email it to us because I'm not reading all that shit right now during the show.
Strongly worded
these technical issues only arise during the actual live production.
It's the weirdest thing.
No.
But I also think we're in a very unreliable I think we're in a very unreliable region right now with
probably so
cable because I know my
well the Cox guy was camped out at the end of the block.
Yeah.
So back to that storm. So last night, according to what's the old guy on Channel 10, Dave Muncy, he said it was the worst thing he'd seen, the worst storm he'd seen. But I've been here for 30 years, and I would rank it third. But it was bad. I was just sitting at home watching So You Think You Can Dance, trying to put off going to the gym for yet again.
Sure.
48 years in running.
And good for you. So you think you can work out. Still losing.
And all of a sudden, there was just an odd noise from outside. And that's hard to hear because I keep my TV pretty fucking loud.
Sure.
So I'm like, well, that seems worth investigating. So I undo the shutters, which are rarely open to let in any kind of light or human consciousness.
And a big dust cloud puffs in your face.
No, and like the whole, it looked like daylight out. The lightning was so bright. Mm. And but there was no thunder for the longest time. It was just this whistling noise.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, it's gonna be one of those fucking things where everything gets dirty and it doesn't rain. And then holy fuck, did that rain?
Oh man,
come down sideways. And I was kind of sitting there. And I had to keep pausing. So You Think You Could Dance? And like, is this because I have a giant picture window? That my window is like one big like. What would you say? That's like 6x8, if not more, maybe 8x8. It's a giant piece of glass, and I'm like, this is going down, I'm going with it. And then right as one of the contestants was finishing a truly remarkable dance, bam, like out of nowhere, the power like starts stuttering and sputtering. And then it went out, and I'm like, I am not going to miss So You Think You Can Dance. Of course, I'm not worried about anybody's like generators being
like
on or
safety
you know,
or anything like that.
Air conditioning for the elderly. Fuck that. Yeah. So it was just fucking nuts. And then I didn't realize because my power came back up within a few minutes, how bad everyone had it, and that the power was still out, and people were texting like. No one really wanted to. I was like, "You come stay at my house." I mean, I haven't cleaned in a while, but
Michael and I during the storm. Now we were running errands last night, and I didn't realize how bad it had become. And we got from Central to I-17, and it was pretty much like you were riding in the two center turn lanes because everything else was flooded, unless mm-hmm. you were in a Hummer or the yeah. million-dollar fire trucks that were blowing past us. But the we had to exit. We got on I-17, traffic all stopped. We had to exit off of McDowell. Well, we started heading on surface streets to try to get to where the hell we were going. And Michael's like, "What is that?" "Well, I don't know. It's something off of a building, piece of metal." "Or a body, I'm not sure." Oh. And I'm like, "Well, we are on the west side of town. It could be a body anywhere."
Yeah.
So
it's every, not storm so related.
For the rest of the trip, everything that we saw that was like more than like a milk carton floating
bigger
in the water,
than a bread
we're
box.
Like, "It's a body."
Yeah. And it flipped a semi on the I-10.
I saw that.
Flipped it onto another car, and it was craziness. Roofs lost. A woman that I work with, not a big woman or anything like that, very fit. She was like knocked right over in the parking lot.
My goodness.
She got knocked because it hit, it like changed a shift at work.
Mm-hmm.
But so I went about my business. Like I finally made it to the gym like 9:30 and was like doing my thing. And then I started getting like looking at Facebook and everyone's like, "No power, no power." So I started offering people like, "I have air conditioning and TV if anybody wants to come over." And I got no takers. I'm like, "Well, I must be a pretty shitty host if nobody wants to come. They'd rather stay in a third world country."
It's actually more kind of you than I am, because I live a little ways north, and so we saw like all of the smiting that was happening in Central Phoenix.
It was because of gay marriage.
It was because of gay marriage.
Sure.
Yeah, because I live a little bit north, and that storm came, you know, from like the southwest and came up, and so we saw. Like you could kind of feel the air change, and I looked outside and I'm like, "Oh, it's lightning out." And I go out to look and I'm like, "Oh, well, isn't that pretty? It's just very lightning. And look at the show, and that's very nice." And I'm like, "All right, whatever." And I go like, and I'm fairly constantly on social media. So I'm, you know, starting
to... No, not you.
What? Surprise.
I know.
So I'm starting to see people like, "Oh, power's out," and "Oh, storm." And you know, some of the these updates, and I'm like, "Oh, it must be pretty bad. I wonder if it's coming our way." And so I'm like looking at the radar because I'm a meteorologist.
Yeah, well.
I'm like, "Oh, my God." You know, there twice a year you get to track a storm in this town. So I'm going to go.
I'm going to track it.
I'm going to track this motherfucker. Yeah, it rained at my house like at a good clip, but just rained for maybe 20 minutes. Done.
Oh, it was well over an hour.
No, it's
because at one point I really did stay in the house because I had gotten the alerts to like don't try to drive, and my street was
don't go to the gym.
Yeah, do not go to the gym. Right? Danger, danger, danger.
Sad alerts.
But my street flooded, and then as soon as the rain stopped, the flood is gone.
Yeah,
it was seriously like,
well, that's how drains
can
work.
Somebody like pour some Drano in that drain. So, but
that's kind of how flash flooding works.
Because you know how it like starts to creep, and then it like by the time I got in the car, it was dry. Like the the streets were dry. I don't know. It's a bunch of fucking shit.
Well, my OCD, of course, is we're driving through all this, and I see water, and I'm like, "There's a drain. It's covered with shit. And there's another drain covered with shit." My OCD is like, "I want to get out and take the shit off the drains."
Settle down.
Because that's just what I do. Well, remember a couple of years ago, it was raining one night, and Michael and I got on bikes.
Oh, yeah.
We rode all over this little neighborhood.
That was just last summer.
Was it last summer?
Yeah, that was uh-huh. your birthday weekend when Joan Rivers died, when you were yelling at me and the cab driver, "Just fucking do it. Just drive."
Oh, my God. It's been a year since that?
Yeah, it was like next,
you're right.
A year ago
so
next
fun.
Weekend.
That is...
After all his lectures about stupid people that get their car stuck, and some drunkard near his, we'll call it, it was your birthday.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah, because it was either she was about to die or she had just died.
Or was but in we transition.
Were stuck at, we were stuck at Denny's telling Joan Rivers jokes, and finally it was time to like, okay, we can't live at Denny's. Right, we actually have to leave.
We have to go.
We do have to leave. And I told the cab driver the wrong way, and he was in one of those little imaginary cars, what are they called?
Prius or something
some
like
shit.
That. Something Smart was... car, whatever the fuck it was.
So it was, and this one, "Just fucking do it." And like, if this car gets like, "I'll tow you out." Okay, with your teeth? Like, what you going to use? Who are you going to call? Really
Floodbusters, I don't know.
That really did crack me
cleaners.
Up.
Oh, but it was funny.
So technical question, who's doing headlines?
Well, we're going to try... I'm trying to open Facebook.
Are we doing a roundabout?
Well, I'm trying to do Facebook. Well, we're probably going to have to because I'm trying to do Facebook and it won't open for some reason on this computer. You know what? It opened every other goddamn day. Everything is just really weird. I don't know what the hell, what's going on in the world.
Welcome back, Mr. Cotter.
Goddamn. This is shit. Maybe we just go back to doing only sound and no visual anymore. I know Ryer would like that. And whenever she comes back to the show, she'll be thrilled with getting rid of that.
But I'm awfully cute.
I understand. We're going to end this task. Ah, right. Let's try this again. Now face. Because I had sent myself. Oh, magically. Things open. Oh, I had sent myself a couple links in the old. In as I normally do. And where are they? I wanted to read that one. There's a Christian bus driver.
That sounds exciting.
The video. Well, that's one of the other things. So I don't know if it's going to work or not. All right. Does this work on this thing? Nope, that doesn't work either. Oh, fuck it. Well, I'm sure
Let's just dive into something.
Oh, we should.
All right, yeah, let's do it. That.
We should.
Let's do some kind of a segment here. Oh, wait, really? It's 7:30. It feels like we've been doing this for a fucking day.
Well, somehow. Let's do something that sounds like, seems like headlines, but may actually be nothing. So stand by whether you're listening or not. If it's good audio, good. If it's bad, well, too goddamn bad.
I have three stories.
In headlines, we're going to talk about, looks like rentboy.com got busted.
Oh. Her jaw nearly hit the floor.
Chris, go ahead, Al.
Do you know your poo? Doctors encourage Brits to stay healthy by breaking toilet taboo.
A Christian bus driver decides he's not driving that bus.
First rule of Baby Fight Club. Wait, there's a Baby Fight Club?
Oh!
No. I'm out. I'm not that fast.
Oh, let's talk about the bitch who won't give out marriage licenses down in Kentucky.
I'm in on that one.
All right.
Oh, my heaven's sake, Sly. Well, let's see if I can figure out how to paraphrase, because I had no time today. See, the bigger thing was I was telling Kat, because there was no power, all of my pre-show stuff wasn't able to be done because... there was no power.
Oh, computer, sure.
Oh, it didn't work out well. Okay, now why won't any of these links open? Kat, you start with whatever you want to do.
Because of Jesus.
Oh, it probably is.
It is.
Bastard.
El Nino.
Jesus.
El Nino, Jesus.
Snap! Woman dislocates her jaw, screaming with excitement after she is dealt a good hand while playing cards.
What?
Wow. Only in China. A woman dislocated her own jaw when she screamed in excitement after getting a good hand at cards.
I know you could dislocate your own jaw.
It's a true story. The middle-aged woman, named only Mrs. Kwan.
She's probably more popular.
Needed hospital treatment after injuring herself while playing with her husband on a train in South China provinces. Her husband said that he continually got good hands in this game, which made her very happy.
I keep thinking you're talking about a hand job.
I keep thinking that too.
That's all I keep thinking is like, is this a hand job story?
He said his wife was laughing and screaming at her good fortune, but her laughter turned to pain when she opened her mouth so wide to express her delight that her jaw became unhinged.
And calm she down, ate Joan. Him alive.
Calm down, Ping Ping, or whatever the hell her name is.
Staff agreed to speed up the train to the next station. Where medical personnel were already waiting. After 2 hours of treatment in a hospital, the woman's jaw was put back in place. The couple, both in their 40s, had been on the 28-hour train journey between the provincial capital to an eastern part of the country. And I'm skipping those because I can't pronounce any of those cities. Last year.
Are they European?
No, they're no worse. They're Asian.
Oh. Yeah.
And
I don't know. I'm just making it.
Asia's been having a good month.
Nice knowing you, Asian listeners. Turns out this is not unheard of. Last year, a British woman reported that she needed hospital treatment after screaming so hard doing the ice bucket challenge that she dislocated her jaw. Mm-hmm. This woman's name is Isabel Roberts, and she was taken to the emergency room to have her jaw put back into place when the internet craze for tipping cold water over yourself went painfully wrong.
Painfully? What in the fuck is
mm-hmm.
that?
She said, the water was so cold, I screamed. But as I did it, my jaw just started to stick. I tried to close my mouth, but it would not close.
I'm just thinking, if this is something you could learn, you could really be more popular in certain settings.
That's a true story.
I can unhinge my jaw.
I know, because I read it twice the first time thinking it was a blowjob story.
Hand jobs, blowjobs. You got a dirty mind.
I learned it from you.
Okay, so I found this one because it's kind of funny.
All right, go.
But now it won't load right. Pope cleans up dead angel who flew into Sistine Chapel window. Hurrying outside after hearing a disturbingly loud thud against the side of the church, Pope Francis was reportedly left to clean up the remains of a dead angel Monday that flew straight into one of the Sistine Chapel's windows. It's really sad. It seems like one of these guys crashes into the window at least once a week, said the pontiff, who appeared visibly distressed while sweeping up the feathers scattered on the angel's lifeless body. Most of the times their necks break and they die instantly, but once in a while they're all still twitching a bit. That's when I find it best to put them out of the misery with a shovel. At press time, the Bishop of Rome was attempting to scrape off an angel splattered on the windshield of the Pope-mobile.
I saw this. I didn't read it, but...
That's fantastic. I do, you know what? I do love some good Pope humor. I just saw that he's going to be, like driving his little Pope mobile through Central Park in New York, and they're like selling tickets for it. I'm like, that's just like there's a little bit of comedy involved in all of that.
Oh, the Pope mobile is the best.
I love the.
We're
Pope
all here to see the Pope.
I remember that song. We played it on this show.
We sure did.
We got. Yeah. I think we got blocked once because of it. Didn't Google like find
catch
us out?
It? I think so.
Because I was singing the Pope.
Pope.
Jesus.
Slayton, got a story yet?
Nope, got nothing. I'm still working on... We've lost video again. We're not recording. There's so many things going on. But the audio is still streaming out.
All right, so this one all seems right. to be a legitimate news... Oh, go your turn. Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
We're new to this news headline
I guess,
thing.
Yeah. See how difficult it is, bitches?
Yeah, fuckers.
I usually work alone.
That's gotta hurt.
If only anybody was listening to the show.
If anybody could hear this.
Yeah.
Cranford, New Jersey. Two former employees of a child daycare center have been charged with instigating fights among a dozen children ages 4 to 6, recording the incidents and calling them a fight club.
Wait.
Yeah. Erica Kenny, 22 years old, of Cranford, and Chase White, 28... were both charged with fourth-degree child abuse for the alleged fights at the Lightbridge Academy Daycare Center.
What were our ages?
22 and 28.
Months.
Oh, children?
Yeah, the fight.
4 and 6.
How old was the fight? 28 years old. The fight had been going on forever.
It never started as children, continues to this day, postmenopausal.
I'm sorry. The leaders of Fight Club, Erica and Chase, are... 22 and 28.
I don't know why that was so funny to me.
The members of Fight Club, 4 to 6.
Oh, so that's a good age for battle. This that could get bloody.
Like,
yeah.
Right. That feels like Jersey Shore cockfighting to me.
It feels a little
I'm
bit of...
I'm putting some money down
yeah,
on the...
kicking and
on
slapping.
On the toothless little two-year-old.
Yeah.
Toothless little bastard. Dance, Mickey!
I got a 20 on the toothless toe head.
I got $5 on the biter. He hasn't been allowed in a play group in so long, he's angry. He's angry.
Double or nothing on the mama's boy. He's going to crack at some point.
He's been called girly man for too long.
He can't stay in that fetal position forever. He's going to have to lash out.
Take your thumb out of your mouth. Fight!
Well, as it turns out, the fights were staged on at least one day in mid-August and recorded...
At least one.
At least.
And recorded on one of the cell phones and shared the video clips through Snapchat.
Oh, so they get instantly erased.
Right.
Ooh, that's almost smart.
Or instantly captured.
It's almost smart.
Almost smart, because Snapchat is not secure either.
No.
In the video clips, Kenny can be heard referencing the activity as Fight Club and quoting from the book and the movie of the same name in encouraging the children to engage each other physically. Approximately a dozen boys and girls at the daycare center can be seen in the video clips shoving each other to the ground and attempting to strike each other. I'm so sorry, but it's funny.
Oh, it is.
Can you just imagine? Like, I could just see them in their little, like, almost human feet and arms.
Almost human.
Cause I, no, and
in
that's,
their little jumpers.
Yeah.
That snap at the crotch.
Oh, I do love a crotch snap and jumper.
That's a personal call.
Who doesn't?
That's what I'm saying.
Who doesn't?
The last time I had a crotch snap and jumper, let me tell you, I was happy as Larry.
This is actually my favorite kid age. As it turns out, like from 3 to 5 is my ideal kid range because they're almost people, but not enough.
With absolutely no filter.
Right, and no filter. Now, apparently, none of the children were seriously injured, which is good news. And... allegedly, the assholes that were running the place no longer have jobs.
Well, more importantly, they should no longer have children. Isn't that the way to go?
Well, sure. Isn't
this where CPS should come in? And
It was a daycare. They were daycare workers that were.
Oh, good. Yeah, yeah. Oh, good, 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 good. Yeah,
yeah. Daycare workers. So they'll lose their job.
This is like rent a kid. That's even better.
Yeah, this is drop your kid off for the day and go have lunch with hashtag the boozy moms and then come back to pick your kid up and find out your kid has been in hashtag baby fight club.
Oh, that's fantastic. So everybody, so nobody gets separated from their evil mommy. They just have to like can't go to daycare anymore.
They just
anymore.
Have a new daycare kid.
And you know their coworkers are like, that bitch Cecilia. Her kid's always keeping her out of work. That kid's always got the flu.
God. People with kids get all the good time off.
Mm-hmm. So in Britain, according to the Mirror, for much of human civilization, spelled British, we have been obsessed with whisking away our waste products as quickly and as cleanly as possible.
Oh.
And then the page went away.
Okay. Best show ever.
So far, this is. So far, this is really good.
This show's going to be over at 8, isn't it?
If we make it that long.
Because the house is going to blow up.
Did we lose internet? Is that what happened? Because I just had all my pages loaded.
No,
already.
We haven't lost internet. I went over 100. We got that.
I think we're just asking the internet. The internet's like sweating right now. But in trying to avoid coming face-to-face with our poo, we may actually be losing important information about our health and well-being. This is why, to mark National Gut Week this week,
yes.
God love the British, experts are encouraging people to know their excrement, the shape of your feces, and how often you need to go is an indication of your overall health, and changes can be the first sign of bowel disease. Huh? The poo log...
What's the second sign?
That you're looking at your poop. Yes. The second sign is, Mary, we're going to need you to come out of the bathroom.
Is that a Snickers? Nope.
So there's an actual book called The Poo Log, and I can't read about it because it keeps rebooting on my computer.
Is this the story where the people slide down the big toilet in the?
Oh, that was a funny one. I saw that one. That was Japan.
Yeah, that was Japan.
Fucking Japanese people.
Oh, God.
So The Poo Log by Josh Richmond and Dr. Anish Sheth provides a useful guide to what comes from your insides. Corn. It encourages readers
when did
to
record corn.
Yeah, it encourages readers to record each bowel movement and rate it on its delivery, size, shape, smell, number of wipes to get rid of it, and how you feel once it's done. Well, relieved.
I'm exhausted because apparently I had to wipe for an hour and a half to get it all done.
Okay, are you ready for this one? This ranges from woulda, coulda, shoulda to the ones that want to come out but can't.
Shy.
Woulda,
coulda. Is prairie dogging anywhere in this story?
We'll never know because the story won't stay up.
Oh, gosh.
Although I think it's telling me to get off their regular webpage and use their app, but I don't have time
for that.
Oh, I hate that.
Google's actually trying to get rid of that.
Okay, so wait, we got to get back to...
Incidentally, if you Google for these keywords, worst loop ever, you know what comes up?
Us?
Nope. It changes it. It fixes it. Google says, no, you couldn't have meant that because that doesn't make any damn sense. And if you're on image search and you Google worst loop ever, it changes it to worst poop.
Oh,
I got a face full of that today.
Ooh,
and yeah. we have all been in the hotel room, and somebody else does that to you.
Oh yeah.
So okay, so it's the ones that want to come out but don't materialize. Oh my
so
god!
Like wait, are these the poop like categories? Phantom, I gotta Google something.
It's like,
right
here. A phantom vibration from your phone. Is that phantom poop? Is that what it is?
Yes.
Is this called the poop log?
The poop.
Oh, there's an app. Is there an app for this?
Oh, I'm sure. There
I
is.
Don't know.
Shut
it won't
the
load.
Fuck up. Poop log app.
I've been trying to read this one sentence for over an hour.
Stand by.
And the last one is called Pooforia.
Mm.
Ooh, that sounds nice. Wait a second. Yes, this is an app. Alfred?
Oh.
Pooplog is a free application that allows you to track your bowel movements using the British stool scale, of which you were just trying to describe.
Oh, this involves a scale?
No.
Yeah, like, from coulda, woulda, shoulda to pooforia.
Yeah. From ghost poo to, oh my god, that was amazing, you can now track it. I'm going to install it right now. I love apps. Yeah, so that's what I'm going to do. My new mission is to pooplog. Frequently asked questions. Oh, yes. Why develop Pooplog? Is it a joke application? The answer, I was out of work and on disability for 7+ months due to severe bowel problems. I'm a geek, so I started tracking everything, even my bowel movements. I figured others might want to do the same, so I gave birth to Pooplog.
Oh, is that the word you really wanted to use, sir? Is it really?
Well, it can be fun to track and tweet. Pooplog was originally developed to assist with tracking bowel movements for easy analysis by a health practitioner.
Because there's been a lot of difficult analysis?
Okay. Or by an anal-rapist.
So then an anal-rapist. It's not the pronunciation I'm worried about. So there's the ritual pool, the ritual poo, which comes at the same time every day and provides comfort in an otherwise unpredictable world. The ring of fire brings with it an agonizing burning sensation, while the Chinese star is a hard and angular one, which makes your rectum feel as though it's being torn apart from the inside.
All right. Ooh, view poop log, add poop log, settings. I've installed.
Oh, then there are the dads, also known as the day after drinking stool, which is semi-solid and brings with it stomach ache and the log jam. In which nothing comes out but rancid gas.
Oh my goodness. Should I password protect my poop log?
Oh, we should. You don't want the kids just getting into that.
So one of the worst is the Rambo poo, which contains blood, or the Green Goblin, which comes with explosive diarrhea.
It's not okay. Wait, I'm trying it like live right now. Add poop log.
Oh, select my type. God. Gut Week, now in its 17th consecutive year, so behind Shark Week, is part of the ongoing Love Your Gut campaign, which serves to highlight the vital role of the digestive system and emphasize the importance of maintaining good gut health. We're sometimes reluctant to talk about our gut. Sometimes with Gut Week, we are trying to break down the poo taboo and get people to talk more openly about digestive problems. Please do not come up to me and talk to me openly about any of these topics.
Please,
unless,
never.
Of course, you have the Chinese star poop, and then I need to know more.
Okay, so the Poop Log app does not have nice names. It just has type 1 through 6 and descriptions. Type 1 being separate hard lumps like nuts and difficult to pass. Oh, there's a type 7.
Ooh, there's a type 7.
I thought we stopped at 6 and that was bad enough, but no type 7. Watery, no solid pieces, entirely liquid.
That should be the dads, the day after drinking syndrome.
I didn't know there was an acronym that went along with that.
Not okay. Clayton, how are your stories coming?
Well, I got our video back up,
oh,
so people
good.
Can see us
oh,
again.
They can see us. Well,
and they can hear this lovely story about shit.
Poop log available on Android and iPhone.
Oh. Yeah. Let's compare notes next week.
Oh, select volume. Wait, I have to change my
you have
time.
You have to hear it, too?
No, not audio. Compared to your normal bowel movements, how does this bowel movement rate? Medium, small, large, extra large, or fuck, I don't know.
Fuck, I don't know.
Select time of day, approximately when did this bowel movement occur? Just now? About an hour ago?
Been working on it for 30 fucking minutes.
I'm right on top of that, Rose.
Right on it, Rose.
Oh, I gotta watch that movie again.
I've been hanging on to this fucker for 6 weeks.
Oh my god, you can attach a photo?
10 days on the turlet. What? I can't believe this is what we've come to. This is the bathroom humor that we've...
Welcome back, everybody.
Exactly.
Welcome back.
To our poo log. We've been gone for 3 weeks keeping a poo log.
Oh,
hey, Nero. What else do I have?
My gosh.
Well, we haven't tackled the Duggars, so let's go after them.
The Duggars. All right.
So Josh Duggar,
refill my glass. You,
who was
you
our
talk.
Our first first known victim of the Ashley Madison hack.
Known victim.
And who knew when the cheating website got hacked that such good things would happen to such bad people.
Yay! Oh, bad people.
But all things Duggar and their just evil shittiness. That all this family just gets, they're the gift that keep, well, there's 19 of them, so that's a lot of gifts to receive. But it's all lying in the hands of one Josh Duggar.
The biggest giver of all.
And now his staunchest supporters are turning on him. Michael Seawald, the father of Josh's sister Jess's husband, Ben, if you can follow that shit. he's calling him out, and I guess Josh Duggar's wife, Josh Duggar's wife's brother is trying to get Duggar to leave him. God, that's so many pronouns in one fucking story. So yes. Josh Duggar's brother-in-law is trying to get his sister to leave him, and the parents, the in-laws of Josh Duggar, won't let it happen because they don't want to be the parents of a divorced girl. So they're not concerned that their daughter is married to a child-molesting, cheating fuck who goes on dirty websites and, like, has affairs and is addicted to porn. They would rather that than she be a divorced woman.
Wow.
So now, like, as the family battles start, it just gets more and more exciting because now these Christians are coming out for, like, the hypocrisy that they're known for, that divorce is worse than, to them, not to our friend in Kentucky, but to them, divorce is worse than child molesting and cheating and internet porn. But internet porn is really a victimless crime, as far as I'm concerned.
Agreed.
Ask everybody in the Bible Belt, because they're all on it.
They're all on it, yeah.
My God.
Nothing wrong. Coffee sounds good, Nero. In a related topic, perhaps they can seek absolution from His Holiness, because it is a holy year, and the Pope has already said that in a holy year, priests can absolve you of the sin of abortion. So
I read that today.
Did you read that?
Frank's having a hell of a year.
Frank. I tell you what.
Frank is busy.
Oh, holy year, clean.
Yeah.
Clean. Maybe he can absolve the Duggars of their...
He's already.
But they're not Catholic divorce. Though. They're the religions where you can't seek forgiveness. You just burn in fucking hell.
Damn it!
Wow.
And he's a creepy fucker too, by the way.
Which one?
Josh Duggar. I mean, they're all creepy. They're pretty much
we touched on quite a few creepy people just now.
They're just fembots and guys that touch children. But Amina, it's all planned in rehearsal. Let me tell you. How we get from one story to the next is all planned out.
How we get from one week to the next is really the challenge, though. No.
But this has just been the most delightful story. And it's, as I said, it's always fun to go on conservative pages and just watch the people just forgive, forgive, forgive. And then finally they're like...
And we're done.
Yeah, we're done. Then. Yeah. But they won't condemn him. They're just like, oh, we'll just... God bless him.
Bless his heart.
They go full Southern. But he said that he was the biggest hypocrite in the world. I did like that. But the fact that, I mean, this family is so grotesque.
Yeah.
But that was one of my favorite stories. I was very sad that we were off to miss out on them.
And then
there's the dirty little fucker that it does his Christian video blog. I don't know his name, but it's his husband and wife, and he did the surprise pregnancy blog, and then he quit his job to be a video blogger. Because Jesus told him to.
Is he an Ashley Madison?
And he's an Ashley Madison account holder. Right, so sweet baby Googling. Jesus.
We have a winner.
Christian vlogger Sam Radar.
Sam Radar.
On his Ashley Madison. Well, let's see what the Washington Post had to say about him.
Hello, Meow Cal. The Washington Post says, and he's another creeper. Watch some of those videos.
Well, Sam Radar says that his wife and God have forgiven him.
Oh, of course.
Lucky day.
Oh, happy day.
Ooh, happy
Just
day.
Hours after the Daily Mail reported that Sam Radar, one half of the viral Christian vlogging couple Sam and Nia.
Not before that came out. No, forgiven after.
After.
He appeared to have once paid for an account on the infidelity website Ashley Madison. The couple released a video confirming that the account was Radar's and saying that they had put the whole thing behind them. He said she has forgiven me for this.
Does that mean he fucked her in the butt?
Wow.
Hey, it's your birthday. It's a really old insult.
Hey, it's your birthday. Yeah. Wow.
Once upon a time, it used to be a euphemism for in the butt.
Yeah, in the butt, Bob.
OMG. Wasn't ready for that. All right.
It just organically, it happened.
Yeah.
She has forgiven me for this mistake that I made in opening the account, Sam said, of his wife who sat beside him in the video. I have sought forgiveness from God and he has forgiven me, so I have been completely cleansed of this sin.
Mm. And I'm going to continue to not work and support my wife and just make horrible video blogs.
Yeah.
One of the ones they did was about, like, they did the surprise pregnancy, then they did the one where I think she lost the baby, and just really, like... And I guess that's the whole point to them, is you do personal stuff like that. But it was, there's an ick factor there. Oh. So let's just go over like other headlines that are, because like, the internet's not playing along with me right now.
Not at all.
But there's that fraternity that got caught chanting no means yes, yes means anal.
Oh my God. Oh, I was thinking of the one with the bedsheet signs.
Hey, hey, it's your birthday.
Hey, yeah. And then the chorus is, it's your birthday, it's your birthday, it's your birthday.
It's your birthday. It's your birthday.
Okay, so we'll talk consent first.
Yeah.
Okay, go.
Yeah, so none.
Continue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's the New Hampshire kid that just got, that they had the whole senior thing where they tried to sleep with as many as the freshman class as possible.
He just got booked.
The prep school where John Kerry and like other notables went to school, and it turns out they have this culture of rape there that's been going on for years in the school.
It's called college.
It's called college, right. And this kid was, he didn't actually get charged with, I think it's felony rape was all he wasn't charged with, but he's going to face like 33 years in prison, and he was convicted of like sex with a minor, all the things he did. And according to him, he was too chicken to say that they didn't do anything, so he bragged all over Facebook about raping her, and he convicted himself.
And oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, so he on social media and through text messages described what happened. She says it happened, but then he said he was just too chicken to deny it. But it's part of that whole thing. And it turns out that they went to like more than one campus, the news story that I saw.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a Southern college where, like, this is one of those things where it's just over and over and over again. Everyone has this thing that they chant at parties and stuff. I mean,
if they chanted
at me, at least I'd be willing.
Wasn't that akin to the chant that they showed on the bus from the Oklahoma State kids or somewhere around there where it was the... I forget, but it was targeted at African Americans,
and that was about lynching. Oh, I mean, it turns out send your kid to a fraternity, and they can learn about raping and lynching, like all the quality topics.
That's not exclusive to the fraternities and sororities, though. Like, I don't know. Ask any woman in her 30s if she's ever been a victim of any kind of sexual assault. Odds are the answer is yes.
Yeah.
And then two, it happened in college.
Right. Oh,
like,
yeah.
When that happens the most.
Or the military.
Is in college. Or the military, for sure. But yeah, like, the age timeline when women are most attacked is in college. Because these girls are, like, fresh out into the world, and we, like, we increasingly teach our girls how to protect themselves, but we decreasingly teach our boys how to respect people.
Right, and to stop raping people. It's that Amy Schumer thing where the football coach says, we're just not going to rape anybody this year, and they're all like, but what if she's in skimpy clothes, or what if she's really drunk, or what if
she asked for it.
Yeah, and then the whole town won't support him, because they're like, the boys need to rape someone, like, they're football players, how are you going to do this?
And we're still just living in that very scenario. Like, we're saying it a whole lot differently. We're saying things like, oh, boys will be boys, or... You know, she was asking for it.
Oh, yeah, the blame the victim. The Sarah Palin blame the victim school of everything. So it turns out it was, now my internet's working. So it was Yale that it started with. But now Texas Tech was there, also has it. So it's like one of those things where in Harvard has it. It's one of those things that you think it's an isolated incident, but then you go school by school by school, and they all know it. Just like they knew the song from the bus last year that they were singing.
Wheels go round and
round. Well, thanks
round
to Al Gore and the internet.
Yeah, thank God he invented the internet so we can all know about these things.
Thank you, Al Gore.
The good thing is that this stuff is coming out and being stopped. And like the question keeps coming up is like, is there any reason for there to be fraternities anymore? Like, besides being a culture of rape and just horrible activities and the kids that keep dying and pledging, like, what is the benefit to this societal, like
that's super,
like just general
draconian
ickiness.
Is the word I was looking for. Yeah, that entire culture has always kind of baffled me.
Yeah,
but I didn't go like to a state school. I didn't go like, you know, right after senior year of high school. I didn't get packed off and go sleep in the dorms and, you know, live the college experience. So I don't really know.
Yeah, I never lived in a dorm either. I always lived off campus when I went to school. And I guess I found out years later that we had a fraternity or something in my high school. There was some kind of like, I don't know, fraternity, some kind of club that some kids belonged to. And it was talked about now a couple times that I've been home. And the only story I ever heard about, and now I know what the point to the story was, they took some kid as part of and in high school, what the fuck are you doing in high school in Niagara Falls doing this? They took a kid to one of those self-car washing things, and they hit him with hoses. They stood in a place where you could get him with more than one hose.
Sure.
And they, like, seriously, like, damaged his eye and did all this, like, really hurt this kid with hoses that are meant to clean like bird
pressure
shit off
washed
of cars.
Him, right.
Yeah, pressure washed him. It's just fucked up shit. Yes, and Amina is talking about it's the pack mentality and just the general misogyny of that exists in there, and I agree with that completely.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that pack mentality is the worst, and you can see it from early ages.
Yeah,
like I think some of it is kind of like natural inclination, and some of it is just encouraged. I don't know. It's no fun. And then there was that. Then there was the college that like they took the bed sheets out of the frat house and wrote, drop your freshman daughters off here. You can drop mom off too. Oh, and they hung them out of the front of the,
I saw
of
that.
The frat house.
They got in trouble
for
that. Yeah,
it was on freshman move-in day.
Oh my God.
And so all of these parents are taking, you know, like they're brand new, like 19-year-old babies off to college for the first time. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it that really struck me was I was listening to local talk radio the day that story was the only story they could talk about because they can only fathom one story.
Oh, there is only one story at a time.
Which I kind of sometimes appreciate and kind of sometimes I'm like, look, people. And that show infuriated me because the one woman on that show, I want to go and strangle her to death.
Which show?
KTAR.
Okay.
I don't remember. I think I want to say it was the morning show, but I don't remember.
There's a couple of them on that station that I want to strangle to death.
Cunty McCunterson. At no point in the entire broadcast that I listened to for like an hour, at no point did she say, let's stop teaching our boys that this is okay. She was like, well, you know, the girls are just going to have to learn. This is the way it is. And I'm like throwing shit at the windshield in my car. I'm driving along in the minivan.
Well, that's what they said to the women about being raped in the army. Like, well, that's just what you should expect.
This is going to happen. Right.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
The wrong answer.
The army stories are so horrible. I'm trying to find more
stuff. Kind listeners, if you ever have children, and if they be a masculine child, please.
Keep it in your pants.
Yeah.
Or
teach them not to rape.
Yeah, teach them to jerk off a lot. Like, enjoy it. Love it. Live
Good
it.
Good job. Buy them porn.
I rejoined the show, I'm caught up into teach them to jack off a lot. All right.
I was at a house party with a friend of mine who is, he and his husband have a teenage son. He's actually not a teenager anymore. He's older. But when he was a teenager, he had some friends over, and one of the two dads was, you know, a glass or two of sangria in, and the boys were talking about sex and girls and all that stuff, and
because it's gonna come up,
and so it turned into like a, you know, a boys only conversation, and let's have this, and they were talking about, you know, having their first experience with girls. Like a couple of them had kissed, one had gone a little bit further, but they were all virgins. And so my friend, like I said, a couple of glasses of sangria is like, just jerk off all the time. Like, if you feel like you're in a comfortable place, just excuse yourself, go in the bathroom, whip it off. He's like, but when you're home, make it last a little longer so you'll be a better lover later. You want to be nice. Like the two chuck, what is it? Oh, it's that expression that makes me laugh so hard. The two pump dump.
Oh.
So it was so funny that he was like, I kind of was unsure about that conversation, but they all thanked me for it.
That's a pretty good conversation.
When it comes from an older guy that's trying to tell them, like, take care of yourself, make sure you're not in a situation where you're so horny you make a mistake or make a bad decision, but when you're ready, be prepared to be a more conscientious lover.
That is good advice.
And from gay dads, I'm going to assume that the only bad decision you might make is do not wipe it on the drapes. Do not. Come on!
But as anyone that I know that has like a teenage son, touch nothing. They have to pick up everything off the floor. Any socks, underwear, towels.
Do they get like the tongs thinger that you buy at Walgreens?
Ooh, they should get that.
You either get something where you pick it up from a great distance.
Yes, the gripper. I love the gripper.
That towel can stand by itself.
Yeah.
Clayton, are you joining us again?
I am.
Because we're treading water over here.
In fact, I have a story that will help us to transition into the bitch from Kentucky.
Awesome.
This is the story for what? I
was going to say we love a segue, but then I realized that's I was talking too much.
Kind of what this
up.
Is. And we're just going to ditch doing the crossover at the top of the hour because I've just decided I'm tired of technical issues.
Yep.
At the tone, the time will be 8:04.
Yeah, it is. So this is a story from August 28th. Calgary's annual festival, Pride Festival, kicked off on August 28th, and in celebration, Calgary Transit painted a bus in rainbow colors. But, oh yeah, one of the drivers, citing his strong Christian belief, says that he will refuse to drive the rainbow bus, even if it means losing his job, if he is assigned that bus for his daily duties.
Fire him.
Jesse Rao has been driving for Calgary Transit for only a year, but he told Canada's CTV network, quote, "I'm concerned that if I say my beliefs that I might not have a job. I am a Christian, so as a Christian, there are things like homosexuality that I just can't condone. Unfortunately, we live in a culture where if you disagree with someone's lifestyle, the accusation is that you hate the person." Dude, it's a freaking bus. Just drive the goddamn thing. Come on, listen here. Just because
and you're not sucking a dick, you're driving a
right,
bus.
Right.
You're not and driving. It's not a metaphor.
And it's going to be a fun bus.
Because if you're driving a bus, maybe you're into fat chicks. I don't know.
Oh. Right.
That'd be the metaphor.
Right, fat chicks down. Because
I'd pushing a wheelbarrow.
Pushing a wheelbarrow.
Trying to think of metaphors that are better than driving a bus.
Just because you don't drive it doesn't mean that you. Just because you drive it doesn't mean that you agree or what it represents. It doesn't mean that you condone something simply because you're doing the job. Rao added that if he should happen to be assigned as the driver of the rainbow bus, he will immediately go to the dispatcher and ask to be assigned a different bus.
This is the bus that there is to drive. You can either do it or go the fuck.
But
home.
What Rao doesn't realize or just completely forgets about is that the rainbow is a symbol from the Bible, or he like maybe he's like.
Oh, yeah, it's from the boat story.
So
it's the proof. Sure. It's the proof of that God still loved us when the rainbow. Right. I don't know. There's a bird and a rainbow at the
Charlton
end of that
Heston
story.
In that one.
No.
Yeah. Oh. Oh, it's the other
and
one.
Everybody had belly buttons in the beginning. Or is he like so many of the far right who cling to the Bible but don't bother to open the cover of one and discover what's actually inside? Take a look at Genesis 9:12-16, which states, and I quote, because it was on the internet, "And God said, there is a sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant of all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on this earth." Drive the fucking bus, you jerkwad. Come on.
And I bet you God was regretting those words when Katrina hit. He's paying for the fuck.
Water and rainbows.
They're going to quote that part of the Bible where I said I wouldn't then flood it out anymore.
All the networks are going to come 10 years later and do another
Damn
story.
Damn it, that Daily Show is always bringing my words back to haunt
in
me.
In fairness, he only flooded the South.
And every story...
doesn't even count.
And it was because of gay marriage. I'm sorry, well, we all know sure. that.
Every story that I've seen in the past week that are celebrating the 10 years of not celebrating, but you know, the 10 years after yeah. the Katrina
oh God,
massacre.
Yeah.
Honoring, yeah. remarking yeah. upon.
Right. All this other stuff. Every goddamn story is ending with a trombone or a trumpet player. It's every one of them.
Because it's Nollins.
I know, but they all go back to
Louisiana.
Music. I just think it's interesting. That oh every one of them. There's a horse-drawn carriage. They're all doing the same shtick.
Yep. I was processing insurance claims during that. That was horrible.
Well, but it was. Well, denied.
Enjoying Donna Summer's triumphant return to the Universal Amphitheater in Los Angeles.
What do you mean there's a hurricane? That's what I was saying.
Oh. No, I told my friend, like, I like my one day in the hotel that I paid for.
Sandy Bullock Day.
Yes.
Or if Sandy Bullock is not available.
Weather Channel.
Then we watched the Weather Channel, and we turned it on, and we watched Hurricane Katrina, and he was like, this is fantastic. I'm like, spoiler alert, it's not usually this good.
Right.
Like, this is above and beyond what the Weather Channel usually delivers.
Funny to me, and I've told this story on the show before, that 10 years ago, that tells me that I was with my friend Gary Miller. We were in a hotel in Kansas City for one of the first rodeos, gay rodeos I'd gone to was the Kansas City one. I went with him. We were in the hotel, and it was the weekend of Katrina, and it's all going on. And it's one of those things where they're like, you got two double beds and you're in the room and you've got all the stuff and vodka and whatever else is going on your trip.
Like you do.
And you're laying in the hotel room, you're doing channel surfing. Well, we get to, I don't know, CNN or the Weather Channel or whatever it is. So we're a little punchy, and this is where the jokes all start coming about this, that, and the other, and then we're like, oh my God, wouldn't it be great if they have a charity concert and Katrina and the Waves play? walking on sunshine in the lower ninth ward.
Not quite.
No, they didn't work out too well.
And there was a really, in Politico, and I love Politico. I didn't realize they were so right-leaning until someone told me, but I read Politico pretty much starting the election, beginning of election year, and
they
write them out until November.
That's fine. Are they informational? Do they actually use facts?
Because yes, they
we need to start distinguishing the difference between...
No, on the
right-wing
show.
Weirdos. No, not on the show, but like in general, when we're talking about people that are like right-leaning or right-wing, are we talking like people with actual conservative views, or are we talking wackadoos over here who won't listen to facts?
Right.
Because those are two separate camps
now. But Politico is kind of like bash Obama first, ask questions later. But I didn't realize that because I don't usually read those articles. But they published a kind of an editorial piece, an opinion piece, really. It was more of a confessional by Brown. The head of FEMA, Brownie.
Hell of a job, Brownie.
Hell of a day.
Oh, my God. That boy got no fucking shame. He was like, I think the article called Stop Blaming Katrina on Me, or Stop Putting All the Blame for Katrina on Me. And he goes through and blames every single person for what went wrong, including Anderson Cooper. Like, at one point, he says...
Shirt was too tight.
Happens. He was just in a t-shirt. About it.
He was in a t-shirt because, you know, it was a problem. yes, it was. How little clothes he has on is how big the disaster is. But he says that they had a very organized, scheduled response to Katrina, and Anderson Cooper and his cameraman had asked to go on one of the rescue boats, and he said, oh, no, that would be two less places for
survivors.
So he said Anderson Cooper went out on his own, and he went to places that weren't – that they were next, but they weren't there yet. So he blames Anderson Cooper for the media response, as Anderson Cooper's just floating down in a rowboat with, like, a dead body on a car, like, people on the side of the road, standing in front of the Superdome with a wheelchair with a blanket over top of it. Anderson Cooper's just standing in places. He's not going searching for shit, but blames Anderson Cooper, blames the governor of – Louisiana, who does have some blame. There is some for them. Blames Nagin, the mayor of New Orleans.
Was.
But then never
who's
takes
now in prison.
Yeah, never takes accountability for the fact that, like, you have poor people that have nowhere to go. You can issue an evacuation.
But what are they going to do?
But where are you going to go? And, like, the buses that were sitting there with no one on them when people were, like, desperate to be rescued, like, sending people to the Superdome that was not safe through Category 3, the model that they had that said that Hurricane Pam, the fictional hurricane, the simulation that told them exactly what would happen, and they ignored it. Mm. The flyover of President Bush looking out the window and not landing, not going, you know, just all the, and saying it was too dangerous to land, but Sean Penn and Anderson Cooper are down there on the ground in a boat pointing at the plane going, we're here.
We're here, yeah. No. How did we get in here?
But if you get a chance to read it, what's his, I can't think of his first name.
Michael.
Michael Brown.
And he really does, he looks like he largely blames the mayor.
Yes, which many people, he has some, there is some fault there. Huh? But because all of them thought that the hurricane was going to miss. Did that come out of you? Oh, it's your cat.
It's Maggie.
Oh. So, I mean, it was
You continue on with that. And let's wait. Hold off on the bitch from Kentucky until I get back. I'm going to go feed that bit, that little one.
So it is in it is in Politico, right? But it's a really...
It is Politico.
Oh, okay. And Dr. Ben Carlson has provided a link. And
I'm very resourceful.
Speaking of your namesake, Dr. Carson.
Oh, my God. So you go and then I go because I'm very excited about one thing. So you go.
So he is now tied for first place in the Iowa polls.
Yes.
Tied with Trump at 23%. And they have started, and I wish we were, in a primary season, we may be early enough to be in an important state. We might start to see the ads, but Jeb Bush has started to add.
In Arizona.
Jeb Bush has started to air attack ads against Trump.
Against Trump.
And
I saw
all
that.
The things that he's saying about, I'm a Democrat, I'm pro-life, I'm pro-choice.
So Jeb is trying to paint Trump as this liberal nut job.
Right.
Who's just trying to get, like, Republican votes because Republicans are where all the money is. So Jeb is going after Bush. Or not Bush. Jeb is Bush.
But he won't use his last name in any ads.
No, God, why would he?
He's just Jeb, like he's Jethro or something. I'm just some white trash guy from Florida.
Just Jeb. Oh, my God. He needs just to do that.
Just Jeb. So, okay, Amina is backing me up that Politico is one of the most fact-based sites that she's seen. And I have to say that I'm a big fan of Politico. I read it besides HuffPost because they have that one hot on-air reporter that makes my pussy talk.
All right.
I read Politico all the time, so I was surprised to learn later that many people find it's very right-leaning. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I read it constantly. Like, right. In 2012, it was my Bible. Like, I was constantly in there.
Which is okay. Like, have your point of view. Use facts.
Yeah, and they really do. Please, I find the articles very interesting.
Use facts.
So, Anderson Cooper, right before the special that they aired, they had their the 10-year anniversary special on Thursday night, because I guess they didn't have a current documentary to play. He was interviewing someone, and they were, like, seriously laughing about this, the fact that Politico published it, everything that was wrong. And they're like, yeah, I mean, there is something to be said about blaming Negan, blaming, I can't remember who the governor was at the time. It wasn't Haley Barbour. Like, yes, it was Haley Barbour.
Don't send them to the Superdome, I think was the...
Yeah, but the fact that, I mean, and the article starts to get funny because he's so defensive. Like, mm-hmm. He really had a strong resume, which it was a little bit better than you think, but... it's just because he was too busy that day to, like, give anybody his... If he had only talked to the press that day, they wouldn't have attacked him. It's like, you're not Hillary Clinton, bitch.
Right.
But anyways, so go ahead. What was your thing about Carson? So,
the Facebook page that I made, Dr. Ben, parenthetically, Kat Carlson for president, has its first fanatic follower.
Oh! I'm so excited.
Who is this?
My friend Gary Stone. He's commented on, like, all three of the things that I've posted. And it's my favorite because I posted some... Like, I'm not posting anything, like, posing as Ben Carson. You know what I mean? I'm just like, finding political shit and, like, flinging it over there every once in a while. So I posted one...
Like her feces that she looked at carefully.
And logged using my new app, Pooplog.
Pooplog, yeah. You Chinese starred one over there. It hurt so much coming out, I decided to throw it at you. I wanted you to suffer, too.
Yes. So, you know, as you're, like, scrolling through, like, some people post ridiculous political stuff or quotes or possibly not even quotes, just shit people made up and put next to a picture of somebody else.
Is the internet is good for.
So I found one that I found that was entertaining, and it's attributed to Barry Goldwater. And it says, mark my word, if and when these preachers get control of the Republican Party, and they're sure trying to do so, it's going to be a terrible damn problem. Frankly, these people frighten me. Politics and governing demand compromise. But these Christians believe that they are acting in the name of God, so they can't and won't compromise. It's attributed to Barry Goldwater. I never looked it up, but I believe it to be reasonably true.
Because he was an icky conservative back in the 60s that came around when his grandson came out.
Sure.
Famously here in Arizona. Mm-hmm. When the first anti-discrimination laws were being passed around, Barry Goldwater, he was invited by the Christian right to come and speak, and they were not expecting him to turn on them and be like, my grandson's gay, you people are full of shit. Mm-hmm. But so I would believe that to be attributed to him, because the Goldwater conservative is the classic before the Reagan.
And again, I vetted none of that. I scrolled and I saw it and I said, oh, that'd be a good one for Dr. Ben Carlson. So
without any vetting, I will give that credit, because the Goldwater conservative is its own thing. And I would believe that.
But Gary Stone decided to comment on that.
Oh, and what is Gary Stone?
Gary Stone says that we've already had an evangelical Christian in Jimmy Carter, and there is nothing radical about him or Ben Carlson. He made sure to spell it wrong.
Yes.
The uninformed voter. Goldwater was talking about more extreme fundamentalists.
Right.
Of course he was.
Because just for a brief history lesson, the Christians came in and fought against Jimmy Carter, and that's who Reagan hitched his wagon to, which made, like, the AIDS epidemic that much worse, because that was his base. That's what got him elected, was that far-right fundamentalist Christian, when we did have an evangelical Christian at the time. So for Reagan, a divorced man, to like get these people to say that here was this...
Get him on board, yeah.
True, one of the really true Christian men that's ever been in government, I still think about Jimmy Carter. Yeah. Like, acts as conscious, builds homes for the poor, is always advocating for the needy, for the poor. He's a great...
Is still advocating for the needy and
even
the poor.
As he's dying. Mm-hmm. But the Christian right, if you read what they're saying on these right-wing blogs about him having cancer, and the sad news that the cancer has spread to his brain, but he's still going to teach Sunday school. He's going to, you know,
long as he's physically and mentally able to do it, he's going to do it.
But still lives in great faith with great love of humanity. And you should read the shit that they're saying in these blogs. It's almost as bad as the people that say that Sandy Hook never happened. Like, it's at that level of hatred that, oh, he deserves it for what he did to this country and he's a terrible person and, you know, cancer is God's way of punishing him and all this stuff. And I'm like, this is a man that did nothing but good.
Yeah.
He was an ineffective president because I don't think you can be that goody-goody and, you know, gotta have a little touch of evil in you.
In his own words, the only thing that he wished that he could have done more was send another helicopter in.
Right. Like, and change that whole thing.
Yeah, he could have done that, but what would you have changed? That's what he said. I think that's a pretty good thing to have said.
And we used it when we got bin Laden because we had a problem with one helicopter, but guess what we had? A second helicopter.
Two helicopters. Mm-hmm.
Right. But, I mean, lesson learned.
Yeah.
Note taken.
Thanks, Jimmy. Maybe that was Rosalind's idea. I don't know.
All right, so can we get to the cunt from Kentucky?
Let's do that.
Do we need refills? Do we need to...
Yeah, let's... All tell right. people where Kentucky is.
Kentucky is in the southeastern...
On the map, wait.
Oh, yeah, please use your map.
Oh, we don't have it.
Wait, on the map?
And the phone... Let me change the camera shot.
Change that camera shot.
Fun to see it. So you can't see it.
On the map, Kentucky. Well, let's see. This is Maine.
Oh, that's way up there.
This is Florida.
Okay, we can't see your hands, so we know it's way deep.
It's way down there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And this, you could just go right up the coast, and then there's Kentucky right there on the map. See it right there?
Okay.
Can you see it?
It's great. Good. As soon as they get the chroma key fixed.
Arizona's over here.
Ooh, could go a little further, Arizona, actually.
Maybe you think?
Yeah, go over there. Oh, there you go. There?
We'll put Arizona right there.
Your head's in about the Missouri Kansas border.
Oh, good.
That's where I think your head's.
But
really.
If I put Arizona here, then I can't reach all the way to California.
Well, that's just you're stretch. Right there. Oh, you're in the drought area. Careful.
Oh.
Your hand is dry.
Don't it's on fire. Don't touch it.
Oh, she's not in Washington.
No.
So in Kentucky,
that whole coast, that whole part of your story is on fire.
I know. Fire!
My pussy is burning.
My pussy's on fire. Oh, yeah. This cunt from Kentucky.
She points at me.
She is a piece of work. We can actually play that audio too of that little. I'll find it. You go ahead.
Because my fear is that she is smarter than we think, and she knows how hard it is to get rid of her. Like, this has to be why she's acting out so much. Not because God fucking told her to, but because she knows that it takes a literal act of Congress to get rid of her.
She's going to be in jail on Thursday.
And I find that, like, important to say because my entire Facebook is full of, why don't they just fire her? Well, would they if they could? Mm-hmm. And that's the other question. Would they if they could?
She's the coulda, shoulda, woulda poop.
Right.
I think she's going to find out how quickly they can get rid of her. I think they're going to find that out.
Well, she lands in jail, she will probably still hold the office unless she resigns it, because she still needs to be impeached. Like, you can be imprisoned and still hold that office, I'm sure.
And the right-wing bloggers are making a big deal that she's a Democrat.
Who fucking cares?
Yeah, that she ran as a Democrat.
Who's been also married, divorced four times.
So now the right-wingers are saying, Democrats are terrible.
No. Hypocritical, God told me to... I won't listen to reason or court or government or law. People are terrible. It has nothing to do with her, whatever political party that she ran on. We were actually just joking recently because locally here, the superintendent of schools is a horrible, horrible person who got elected mostly because she had a white-sounding name and had an R next to her name.
Oh, yeah.
And we were just joking that I could get elected to anything small time in this town as a Republican.
Right.
My name is Catherine Carlson, vote for Catherine.
Sounds
Carlson.
White.
Right? Sounds white as motherfucker.
You're in.
I'm in.
Exactly. Weren't you going to be the mine inspector?
I did write myself in. Yeah, the state mine inspector ran unopposed, I believe. Was it last year?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was last year. The state mine inspector ran unopposed, so I wrote myself in. I had a small little write-in campaign.
I'm on it. I'm going to put my name in every fucking box next year.
I'm eager to find out who's running unopposed in the next election, because then I would like to choose. And I will. There will be a small campaign.
Small, tasteful.
A small, tasteful grassroots campaign.
All right, so now we have to get to...
Let's see if this...
This cunt.
Yeah, let's hear her audio first.
You absolutely are. You're treating us like second-class citizens is what you're doing. Telling us that we don't deserve the same rights that you do, that you have.
I'm saying
that you've enjoyed your entire life. Would you do this to an interracial couple?
A man and a woman, no.
How many times have you been married, Kim?
I just want you all to know that we are not issuing marriage license today.
Why?
Pending
What appeal is left?
Pending the appeal in the Sixth Circuit.
What's the appeal in the Sixth Circuit?
Has been denied. Mm-hmm.
Right. The injunction is the order that you're supposed to issue marriage licenses.
And we're not issuing marriage licenses.
The Supreme Court denied your stay.
We are not issuing marriage licenses today.
So based on what?
I would ask you all to.
Why are you not issuing marriage licenses today?
Because I'm not.
Under
why?
Whose authority?
Whose authority?
Under God's authority.
If your lawyers tell you, I
don't. Did God tell you to do this? Did God tell you to treat us like this?
I've asked you all to leave. You are interrupting my.
You can call the police if you want us to leave.
It's not your business. It's
you can call the police. I pay your salary. I pay your salary. I pay you to discriminate against me right now. That's what I'm paying for. That's what I'm paying for. I'm paying for this memory with my partner that I love, that I've been with for 17 years. What's the longest you've been with someone, that you've been married to someone?
I'm asking you to leave.
I'm not leaving.
Okay, you all
I'm
can
asking you. I'm not leaving.
Away. You all are more than welcome to stay. Just push
I can't
back
help
away
that
from
the press
counter.
Is here.
No.
Just push back
we're
away
not
from
leaving
the
until
counter.
We have a license. We're not leaving
then
until
you're
we have a
have
license.
Do your job.
Well, when you call the police, when you come, I will ask them to arrest you.
Do your job.
Call the police.
And then she walks. She walks away to her office and closes the door.
Now let's back up just a little bit because the chat room has asked. I forget that not everyone lives in the United States and is on Facebook. So when our Supreme Court ruled on their last case involving gay marriage, it essentially blanketed the rest of the statement, the rest of the states, and the rest of the circuits that were holding out and. Oprah was on the steps handing out gay marriages everywhere.
Yeah.
You get a marriage, you get a marriage, you get a marriage.
So this one...
I like it.
This one cunt in Kentucky, she's the county clerk. She's an elected...
County cunt.
Yeah.
County cunt in Kentucky. She was elected to that position. Okay? She's an elected official, and she works in the office that issues marriage licenses, and she, from National Gay Day, Supreme Court Day, June 20... whatever it was.
Year of our Lord, 2015.
Right. National Gay Day, from that day forward, has refused to issue any marriage license.
Mm-hmm.
Because she says that it is against her deeply held religious beliefs to issue gay marriage licenses. And so her solution is to offer no marriage licenses.
That way she's not discriminating.
Mm. No.
Because she's not giving out straight mm-hmm. marriage licenses either.
She's being singularly obstructive because she has... she has been reported to have said, well, you can go to another county. You can even go to another clerk. You're not getting this fucker from me. The problem is that she has now been sued for discrimination
by
for not issuing.
Two straight couples and two gay couples. Because there's two straight couples that want the license from the county that they live and pay taxes in.
Well, sure.
Which is only right.
Legit. Yeah. So she is being completely obstructionist. So now she's being sued. It's gone to the local court system.
She lost.
She lost. It's been appealed. She lost. She appealed for a stay.
To the Sixth Circuit.
The Sixth Circuit. The Sixth Circuit said, no, bitch.
Right.
And they just said, no, we will not hear this case. And it was, God, I always forget her name.
And when the court says, we will not hear this case, we're
Lena
not taking
Kagan,
your appeal.
But that's not her name. I mean, making all the right noises. Supreme Court Justice.
RGB?
No. Not Sotomayor, not...
Elena Kagan.
Elena Kagan. Like, I knew I was close with her name.
Yeah.
But she's the one in charge of that circuit, and she was like, it's done, and they won't hear it.
And nobody's going to hear it, and you're done, you're done, you're done.
So now Thursday, after because today, because they told her no, she had no stay, she had no mm-hmm. legal leg to stand on.
You got nothing.
They
lost.
Appeared today, September 1st. The stay was until August 31st.
Yep.
She should have started to issue licenses to everyone.
Today.
As is her job.
As
her
is her job.
Official state.
She still said no and still believes.
Job.
And even though the right-wing nut job lawyers that defended her said last night she understands what this means mm-hmm. and she has to make a decision before she goes back because we cannot legally defend her anymore.
Right.
We have exhausted our case in 2 short months. I love that it was in 2 months.
That's fantastic.
They said whether she has to pray on it or what she has to do, but she has to do something tomorrow. We can't really help her. So they filed
good luck, bitch.
They filed a complaint in the county. That county was kind of the county district attorney kind of a pussy about it, said it was a conflict of interest. Mm-hmm. So they sent it to, I think, the state's attorney general.
Yep.
And she is going to court on Thursday with the people in her, not just her, but she's taking down, and there's a woman in that audio that we heard sitting silently just staring.
Just sitting there just looking, yeah.
Because, and she, you know, may be a homophobe, she may be pro-gay rights, no one, she may not give a rat's ass, but unfortunately she has to go to court on Thursday. And if they're held in contempt, they could be thrown in jail, which means they still will not be issuing any marriage licenses within this county.
But it would certainly set a precedent, because how many times have people like in this position been put in jail for the defiance?
Right.
Yeah, and Nero, I have to, as another atheist here at the table, and I get more and more atheist-y.
Oh, and I'm on board with you, too.
As the days pass.
Did you say atheist-y?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I almost come out of my chair every time I watch that clip, and they say, on whose authority? It's just, well, on God's authority.
Hold Duggar woman. And I want to tell her, if you're going by the Bible, bitch, what God has joined, let no man put asunder. It's a fucking Mary J. Blige song, so I can sing you that part of the Bible.
He likes rainbows.
Let no man put us under.
Yeah. So, and you've been divorced three times. There's got to be a new name for these Christians that all they have is hate.
Yeah, and actually,
like, none of it is a Christian anything. Like, I'm also sitting at this table as an atheist and with no religious background at all. Like, I wasn't, you know, born Catholic or anything. Like, my parents had conflicting religions, so we read the comics on Sundays.
Yeah. And the Mormons, to avoid more conflict.
Right, and the Mormons thought that we were Mormon because we didn't go to church. Or the Mormons thought we were Catholic. Yeah.
And we weren't going to correct him.
I was like, I didn't know the difference. I didn't know what the fuck Catholic was. How was I supposed to know?
I didn't know what Mormon was. I moved out here and I'm like, oh, people crazy. Yeah.
I just knew Catholics had bigger funerals. Because that's all I went to when I was little, as people would die on the Catholic side of my family. Like, you guys have big funerals.
No, as a child, when kids were like, well, where do you go to church? I'm like, what? They're like, well, what do you do on Sunday? I'm like, read the funnies and eat pancakes.
I do my lawn. Thank you. All right. No. Next.
Like, we did. Pancakes. Like, we would
I was told there'd be pancakes.
No, because my mother made a big Sunday breakfast every week, and we would read the entire Sunday paper. I only cared about the comics and the sports section. Stereotypical, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey. And that was it. So, yeah, I have no patience, and I just keep coming unglued at these people that have no idea, because later in life I actually read a large portion of the Bible, like kind of front to back, and none of it says hate people. None of it teaches.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of awful
blind bullshit.
The First Testament's kind of filled with hate and blood and guts. But
I feel like it's all symbolic at this point.
It is, and as someone who was raised very, very Methodist, except for the drinking and the gambling.
Well, sure.
You know, and I just kind of like parted ways when I'm like,
you gotta have your thing.
Clearly, I have too many questions, because you know, every question was about,
well,
my grandfather used to have a name for that type of a religious person, and maybe you've used it too, where you do everything, but you like the drinking and the gambling. What did he call it?
Sunday Christians.
No, there was some.
Jack Mormons?
Ah, that's the one I'm thinking of. Jack Mormons.
Jack Methodist.
Right. Yeah. I forget about that. All right.
No, I always love the best one. Why do you have to invite two Mormons fishing? Because if you only invite one, he'll drink all your beer.
That's pretty funny.
And I know, and the best part is I know kind people every religion. Mm-hmm. This woman is doing a great disservice.
Yes, which is why there needs to be a new name and a new category for these
people. Kind of like Nicki Minaj to the human race. She's doing a great disservice.
I didn't even watch it. I already have 100 things to say about that. I didn't even watch. But no, there needs to be a whole new category, and we need to start just calling these people out for what they are. And
yeah.
It's hateful motherfuckers that either don't know any better or know better and are mean.
Yeah, and the fact that she looks like Kathy Bates in Misery is not helping anyone's story.
Oh my God, her entire look is amazing.
But I just love it. Divorced three times, but oh no.
Yeah.
God. And she has that stupid fucking... And then women aren't allowed to have opinions or have... Like, they have no say in the Bible. You know what I mean? Even in the later books, Jesus' only girlfriend was a whore. Like, they called her names. So what
I
do
feel
you
like
do?
That's
what
the
do
best kind of girlfriend
and
to
I
have.
Just want
like,
to be like,
be real.
What church do you get an opinion in, cunt? You know what I mean? Like, which one of the religions are women held with any kind of respect or honor? Ain't one of them.
No.
Nuns live in poverty while the other one gets a Pope mobile. You know what I mean? Fuck you.
I want a Pope mobile. Can we build some stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Can we build the Q-Talk America Pope mobile?
I would be in it every day. Is it air conditioned? Wait.
Well, we can only use it in the winter.
Oh, okay.
Let's make it a winter vehicle.
It's a nice vent.
We'll put a fan.
Good night.
Has a nice vent.
Can we put it in the like the bed of the S10? Can it be like removable and we just put it up there for parades and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, we just so it just slides into the bed of the S10. We drive the S10, but the fixture becomes the
Pope Mobile, right? And Al and I stand in the back and
wave to the various peoples.
Wouldn't that be a great gay pride entry?
Throw out sundries to
the parade entry.
Yeah,
I'm writing it down.
But you can't be in it at that point because you have to be at stage two.
I guess that leaves me in the Pope Mobile. I just became the Pope.
Wow,
shortest election in history. Where's the
no smoke?
Where's
no.
the white fucking smoke?
One of these neighbors.
I love it. Jenny says, Jendy. It's our new gender doll, Jendy.
Show me on the gender where you were touched.
Show me on the gender doll where you'd like me to touch you. So I know I have your consent. So Jenny says, I wonder if she has a Tinder account. And you actually have to wonder that. Because you know.
Was she one of four women on Ashley Madison?
Yeah, she was. And she meant anal. Because it's your birthday.
Hey, it's your birthday.
We haven't had a drinking word, but we'll just do that since it's
we totally missed the drinking word.
So now, you know,
we've done no segues.
We've done nothing.
Well, we fucked up so much. Why get anything together now?
Well, really,
why put the pinata back together? You know what I mean? It's broken. The candy's
just
on
eat
the floor.
The candy.
Yeah, exactly.
5 second rule. Ever. Fuck that.
5 second rule. It's really more like a 95-minute rule, but.
I was told there would be no math.
Yeah.
There hasn't really been.
Well, there is an atomic clock.
Yeah. Oh, yes. And
show me where Maine is again. I missed that.
Maine.
The best part is it's out of her screenshot.
The best I did it in the kitchen. I showed the viewers in the kitchen where Maine was.
Well, I should have turned on the kitchen cam.
Flo-Rida.
Flo-Rida.
Maine. Now it's going to be reversed for you. You have to... do the opposite side. Yes. Right, so right now you're pointing to about the middle
the Carolinas.
Atlantic coast. Right, the Carolinas.
You're in the Carolinas.
Right there.
Oh, in this story, California's over here?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Northern California's hot. Southern California's nice.
But it's dry. maybe a lotion.
Then maybe if you go up to the Seattle or go up to the Washingtons.
May we suggest a lotion for the Southern California?
Do you like a balm?
It puts the lotion on the region.
Or it'll never get the hose again.
Oh my God. I know we're not in entertainment yet, but I watched.
Are we anywhere?
When will we ever be?
I watched just last night the very first episode of Hannibal.
Fucking nuts.
I can't even talk. Like, it's so crazy and so wonderful, and I want to binge watch it all the time, but I feel not appropriate for children.
Oh, not really appropriate for many people. Like,
right.
Psychiatrists are standing by.
It came up on Amazon Prime, so I can watch it now. Because I wasn't watching it before, so now I was like in that limbo of I can get either current episodes, but now I can get season one, which is very exciting to me.
And
so
beautiful.
Al is right.
So yeah, it is, and its finale was. We'll kind of mingle in the entertainment world for a minute.
Would you like an intro?
No, we wouldn't do anything else, right? Let's just call this the train wreck that happened.
All right.
Glitch. Well, the musical. Glitch.
I was willing to help.
I feel like we should call it Hell of a Job Brownie.
Hell of a Job Brownie. Yeah, it's the Katrina show.
10 years later.
Yeah. Flooding less body bags.
It's the Katrina reunion show.
Katrina reunion show.
Write this down.
Write down the American South. So, so Hannibal ended this week. I'm 2 weeks behind because I was unable to catch it while I was away, so I missed a few weeks. I have to tell you, and I think I brought up that they introduced, finally, in the third year of doing a book, a TV series based on the book Red Dragon, they finally introduced the Red Dragon in the middle of season three. And they did such a beautiful job. Well, they have kept it very faithful to the book, except for a couple things that they had other characters do earlier in this series. So there's one climax that can't happen again because, you know, you can't do that part again. Mm-hmm. And they had already handled someone being gutted. So they had to do a different take on the Red Dragon coming after Will.
Okay.
As he does in the what was the climax of the book. So they had to do it a different way. And it was just done so beautifully. And now this show is just down to, we know there's only four of you that are watching this shit. Like, it's so And the word that keeps coming to me, I don't know if I'm using it correctly, is esoteric. Like, it's just music and visuals and blood and,
oh, because the soundtrack was...
is sublime.
Yeah, because I was sitting there, like, I was watching it by myself, because, you know, Sharon and I have, like, slightly opposite schedules, and so I'm watching TV, like, by myself late at night a lot of times. So I'm like, oh, you know, I'll put it on, the kids are gone, she's in bed, whatever. And there's one part in just, like, the back of the soundtrack where it's just like this, and I was like, wait, what is that, me?
Yeah.
Like, is that my heart?
They give
no,
you,
it's
they
not
give
that.
You, like, this little heartbeat
yes.
of, this little heartbeat of, like, the tension, and that's how the soundtrack stays. And there's not a lot of dialogue.
Mm-mm.
And they do, we have to wrap up Gillian Anderson's character. We have to tell you all the things that we've been holding back about Gillian Anderson for 2.5 years. So you finally get to her climax. And what they do is they have Will Graham talking to her about her time with Hannibal
mm-hmm.
while she's talking with the client that attacked her, her patient that attacked her. So the camera goes from him talking to her talking to the one that attacked her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's giving him her explanation for that she kind of knew it was coming. Like, she sort of knew. And he's kind of saying, you like this game. And then you have the guy that attacked her explaining what's so fucked up about Hannibal, and that the fact that he sent him to her, again,
right.
more pronouns.
Uh-huh.
Hannibal sent this patient to his own psychiatrist knowing that he would try to kill her and that she would kind of encourage it, that she likes this hunt that they're both on.
I love it. And yes, and esoteric
just,
was correct.
And they just keep going back and forth with this, like, just very, very, very low-key.
Yeah.
And it's Gillian Anderson in her best low-key monotone answering of questions. And she's like, well, what do you think you should do about that? And it's the gay guy from Star Trek and American mm-hmm, Horror mm-hmm, Story mm-hmm, mm-hmm. who I love, and he's the killer, and he's just exploding inside his head because he knows he's being set up to be a killer. Like, he knows that people are just it was just phenomenal.
Wow.
Phenomenal. And they have the tiger scene where Reba in Red Dragon pets the sleeping tiger.
Mm-hmm.
She's blind and the Red Dragon wants her to touch something powerful before mm-hmm. he sleeps with her. So he takes her to a zoo where they're fixing a tiger's tooth. And they have to put it to sleep so she can, like, breathe on it so he can find out how she'll react to being intimate with a killer. And it was just as affecting as it was in the book
wow.
of, like, her, like, feeling his heartbeat and the power and touching his teeth. And he's the Red Dragon, so he, like, eats things. Oh, my God.
I love it.
I have two more episodes to go, and I'm seriously cherishing them because it's just... And it's just, it's so obscure. Like, you're never going to get people like, this is feel-good television that everyone's going to love, like Friends. No,
but I was hooked from the first, like, 3 minutes. Because I, because of Netflix and all of the, like, streaming things, now I try out a whole lot of shows.
Yeah.
And a lot of them don't stick. Like, I watch the first 15 minutes of all kinds of things, and I go, nope, goodbye.
Yeah.
Like, I watched one called Catastrophe the other day.
Swinging Pendulum.
Ugh. Ooh, oh yeah, very Edgar Allan Poe.
Because what they do is because he is a an empath, so he can look at a crime scene and he can empathize with the killer. So he looks at the crime scene and he gets into the head of the killer. That's why he's such an effective detective. But it also makes him crazy because
Fucks
he thinks
him up, sure.
too much like a killer. So he looks at the crime scene and he can back it up in time. And so they have this pendulum swing mm-hmm. and you go back like a couple seconds from the murder and then a couple seconds back from the murder. And every time as he sees it and he backs his way through the crime scene and like sees what happens and he tells them like she was walking for the door. He got shot here. This one was killed for this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's disturbing to him. And they brought it back because they don't do it for a little while. And then when he sees his first Red Dragon kill, which they made in Buffalo. Because they constantly have to explain why it's so snowy in Virginia.
Uh-huh, sure.
Because it's filmed in Ontario through the two most horrible winters in history.
I mean.
Because they're like, Maryland?
It's the Hurricane Katrina reunion tour.
Sure, yeah, it is. So I want to give another television recommendation.
Oh.
It's not currently on any streaming thing, but the new season's about to start. I've been talking about the little teasers because it comes on before Modern Family, so I always see the last, like, minute and a half of the show and the throwbacks. It's the Goldbergs. Spoiler alert, the show I'm talking about is the Goldbergs.
That is on Hulu, I think. Hang on.
Oh, it might be on Hulu.
The 80s family, right?
I subscribe to all of them.
You have to make it through the first episode because, like any other sitcom, the pilot.
Oh, the pilot is terrible.
The pilot does a couple weird things because one of the things that it does is that he videotaped the 80s. This was a nerdy kid with not a lot of friends who got one of the first video camcorders. And so he really did. He really did record his entire family's doings. And so they try to make the kid the cameraman for the first episode. And they ditch that because the kid is so appealing that you need him on camera. So much heart. Yep. So much fun. Laugh out loud funny on a constant basis. Great 80s music. Hysterical 80s clothes.
And it's a sitcom?
It's a sitcom.
So you should be able to dive in at season 3, which looks...
Oh, dive in at any point. Yeah. I just happened to catch last week On Demand had the last 4 episodes that they had aired. And I watched them. And I was delighted by the music. There was just nothing on.
Yeah, sure.
And it was, I hadn't gone back to work yet, so I was up one night, and I'm like, well, let's see what this, like, I've seen the end of so many episodes, because it's always on my tape of Modern Family.
Right.
And they end each one with, they'll show you, like, what it's really based on. Like, they'll show, like, he makes friends with the kid across the street that likes all the things he makes videos of, and they end up doing the Swedish Chef. Like, they dress like Muppets and do the Swedish Chef from the Muppet Show.
I love the Swedish Chef.
And it's just hysterical. And he's like, this was my only cool friend. And anybody that would actually come and play with him gets cast in the show. Mm. It's really his grandfather. The only thing they changed from real life is he had two brothers, not a brother and a sister. But ABC said you should make one of the kids a girl to make it funnier. So the older sister is Erica, not Eric.
Ah. Uh-huh.
Oh, and she has girl problems. And the girl stories are always written from another writer tells a story about her growing up. But all the stories about him and his brother and the woman that plays his mother is just full-on helicopter Jewish mom in horrible clothes, big giant hair that argues with everybody to make sure her kids get exactly what they want. It's so fucking charming, and the music is a delight. Like, good so 80s music, bad 80s music, but it all has a point to the story. And they don't stick to a time frame. So he can be seeing Poltergeist in a Top Gun shirt, like, and they always call it 1980 something because memories are fuzzy. So, so they can play with time frame and stuff, time references and stuff. So it makes it a little bit of fun. Like,
I'm trying to do the math in my head. When was Poltergeist? And
Poltergeist
when was Top
is
Gun?
Like Poltergeist is 81. It's the same summer as ET, but Top Gun is like 86, 87. So they shouldn't be in the. And sometimes they'll make something. They'll talk about a movie, but they'll say it's at the dollar movies. So that would explain why it's a little bit later. But right. One of the funniest ones is the grandfather and him are going to what they think is he wants to see Poltergeist at the dollar movies, and he thinks his mother will like it because it's a bargain. So, but she wants him to see the Mouse Detective because she says that Poltergeist will be too scary for him and he won't be able to sleep. So he tells the grandfather they're going to see the Mouse Detective, and then they both see Poltergeist and get the shit scared out of him. And the grandfather can't sleep and he can't sleep. So he keeps sleeping with his mom. So of course this resonated with me, would always see scary movies and end up sleeping with my mom. So the mom finds out that he saw Poltergeist. So then she starts doing things to scare him because she loves that he's sleeping with her, because she gets to cuddle with her son who really isn't like in the mood to talk to her anymore.
Right.
So she's terrifying him all through the house. Like, she goes outside and clicks the TV channels and puts it on the snow channel while he's watching TV like an older guy. And I really have gotten the biggest kick out of it. And then you end up crying a little bit. Like, it's very Wonder Years. It's like, it's very nostalgic, and it's the sweetest, sweetest show. And it's just such a sweet family. And it really was wonderful.
That's good. I'm going to look for that.
Yeah.
Available on Hulu Plus. So as the season starts in season 3, they'll be coming available. Yeah, it's like the last 5 episodes are available now to subscribers.
And that's what I just watched. I just watched the last 5 episodes that they played. It was what was on demand.
Yep.
And then I put it on my Netflix for discs to come occasionally. Like, I'm not going to obsess over it. I'm not going to go find it. And you don't have to watch it in any kind of order. Like, there's no continuing storyline except
what's
for
fun
it's
about
the
sitcoms
80s.
Is
yeah.
Other than, like, a general progression of, you know, characters grow, especially the kids, like, growing up or whatever, and some inside jokes that happen along the way, there's not a whole lot of need to stick with
and the opposite of that, though, is that Nick at Night plays, like, 19 hours of Friends episodes.
Oh, my God.
So I had a patient where I was, like, stuck in the room, so we watched Friends together for, like, 6 episodes. Oh, my God. And those jokes that just go on
forever.
That they had 10 years of, like, running jokes that just stayed funny. There's one where, like, what would have happened if they had, if, like, Rachel
with
had
Fat
never
Monica?
Been divorced and Fat Monica and all that stuff. And,
oh, my God.
Joey doesn't leave Days of Our Lives, so he's a soap opera star. Rachel's still married to the dentist. And when she says, like, they're like, how can you want to get with Joey? You're married. She's like, oh, if only we could be on a break. And, like, Ross, who's in his, he's trying to figure out how to spice up his marriage with his
with
wife.
With the lesbian.
With the lesbian. Yeah. So somebody suggests that they have a three-way, and she's all excited to sleep with another woman.
She brings Susan in. Yep.
Just funny, funny, funny.
Did anybody happen to see the, I just saw it on, somebody posted the deleted episode from Friends that they took out after 9/11?
And it wasn't deleted. They just did some editing to it because they filmed it right before 9/11. But it's in the box set of that year as a blooper. Mm. And they just said, we took this out because it was inappropriate. They make bomb jokes and
yeah, it's sure. going through the airport and yeah, it was, but it was an interesting yeah. scene to see, but you're like, yeah, I know why they took that out.
And then they get out of the FBI investigating room, and the other storyline is that Phoebe and Joey need to get they get locked out of the apartment, so they have the door. They say there's a gas leak, and they have the landlord crash through the door,
like break in.
And so after they get out of the interrogation room, Monica's talking to them, and she says, "Well, get in there." They're like, "And you don't won't blame us. You're not." She's like, "No, blow it up."
And then the guy's like, "We need to see you again."
Let me just go through a couple entertainment things.
Sure.
Has anybody died, by the way, that we need to note?
There is one. Big death.
Okay. I was wondering.
There
about
were
that
a couple,
today.
But I've lost track. And this was my first vacation in a long time without a really big dead celebrity. And people kept presenting me with like Catwoman died. Not Catwoman, Batgirl died.
Yes.
I'm like, no, Yvonne Craig is not a big celebrity. Like, I can't find three people who know her. Mm-mm. But the Academy has expanded its horizon in choosing a producing team to manage the 88th annual Oscar telecast. After 3 years of relying on Craig and Neil, I only use their first name because we're very close, the organization has turned to former Fox executive David Hill and producer-director Reginald Hudlin to run the show. Hill won an Emmy as the executive producer of the 2011 World Series. What the fuck? And he served as the EP on the last two seasons of American Idol. He worked, he had an Oscar nomination for producing Django Unchained. He directed Boomerang and House Party. These are not great. This is not a great resume, Brownie.
You're not really now.
So, but the Oscars are February 28th, 2016. Please mark it in your calendars. And then we'll get to our little death den. Wes Craven died a couple days ago.
Oh, I saw that.
One of the great...
I wanted one thing to go right, so...
That's nice.
Death thing.
Okay. Death den!
It's happy music for dead people.
I feel like my dancing could kill someone.
Slowly.
Earlier film. So he, his big claim to fame, of course, is A Nightmare on Elm Street.
He gave us Freddy Krueger, right?
Freddy Krueger.
Mm.
And
that's what we want to see.
More importantly, he gave us, he directed the Scream, all the first four Scream movies,
which
were
too.
Genius movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, really, really good. But Nightmare on Elm Street, I think, still... He did The People Under the Stairs. I think the Nightmare on Elm Street is one of the most frightening horror films of the last 30 to 40 years. Like, Halloween has its place in, like, the Stalker video. There's other things that have that little pinch of horror, but nobody quite does that nightmarish, like, be afraid of your dreams, be afraid to sleep, with that sexy teen cast, gives us Johnny Depp.
Mm-hmm.
And just scared the bee fucking Jesus out of
they were,
all of us.
They were showing clips from that movie the other day on I forget which news show we're doing it, and I had forgotten how cute Johnny Depp was when he was younger, because they show him. Cute. I guess he's in a scene laying in a bed or leaning back somewhere.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh my god, he's adorable.
Oh, he was, and he stayed cute as a button for many, many years. Good night, Amina. He also did Swamp Thing, which was I think that's Adrian Barbeau. I'm 99% sure I'm not even going to look. The original Hills Have Eyes from the 70s and the original The Last House on the Left, which was remade recently and is one of the most disturbing movies ever made, where the girls are killed. The girls are attacked in the woods. One of the guys is hurt. They go to a doctor's house to kidnap hold these people hostage, so, and they find out the guy's a doctor, so they need him to help them without realizing that they've raped and murdered this couple's daughter. And as it all comes together, the family starts to fight back. And it's... The remake was just done with Hottie from True Blood, Eric.
Mm. That's an acknowledgement. I like that.
That just sounds like a good time.
Oh, Eric, sure.
Oh, God. Kat is really, she's really paying attention, ladies and gentlemen. Kat, now to you.
I'm right on top of that, Rose. I'm right on top of that.
Yeah. So it's the original movie. The original movie is slightly different, but it's a terrifying movie. And let me just go through what else we have left on this beautiful entertainment portion. There's the right. Oh, look at how easy it came. A couple of movie reviews. Mission Impossible 9. This time it's Tom Cruise. Just as good as the rest of them. Yeah. Very fun. Big screen only, as all Tom Cruise movies are. Stunts are incredible. And he does his own motorcycle riding. So you know how everybody puts on a helmet so they can fit in the stunt double?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't wear the helmet. So you can see that it's actually him on the bike mm-hmm. for most of the stunts. And a couple of crazy ones. They have a helicopter like 90 miles away, so you can maybe think it's not him. But the hanging onto the plane thing that they get out of the way right in the beginning, just a crazy fucking stunt.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how, and of course the other one, the tail end of that stunt is clearly not possible to do. It's just not possible. But however they did it, he gets sucked into the plane and like thrown. And I mean, it should have a dead body at the end of it. Yeah, he would die. Like no one would live through that. It has to be some kind of genetic engineering. But it really was. It was a lot of fun. It was a good time. It was a good big screen action movie with like a very original couple. You know what I mean? It was just. One of those movies where it doesn't have the 90-minute fight scene that we always talk about that bores you to death. It's just action, action, action.
Yeah.
Little bit of humor. Everybody's back. Another really good movie that I think it went wide. I think it went wide this past weekend. It's been in limited release, called Diary of a Teenage Girl. This is a grown-up, adult, very frank look at a mother and two daughters in the 70s in San Francisco in the sexual revolution. And the teenage girl who's your narrator is exploring her sexuality, and she dibbles with the mother's boyfriend and turns into a scandalous affair and becomes a very sexually aware teenage girl who, as she has her first encounter with a teenage boy instead of the older man that she's been sleeping with, and he's doing the two pump dump, and she's like, hold on a minute.
Very disappointed.
Flips him over, gets on top, teaches him how to have sex, and the second time he's like, I'm very confused about this. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's so used to being date rapey Charlie that he can't figure out why there's a girl that A, wants to have sex, and B, is really good at it, and like, he's uncomfortable with liking sex. Like, he wants it to be kind of like...
Creepy
and aggressive. But this is a really grown-up movie, and it's from, I'm not sure if it's from a graphic novel or if there was just illustrations in the book that was written, but written and directed from a book by a woman, and it's from a very female perspective on sexuality and her relationship with this older man, her mother, her younger sister, and it's, I honestly think the girl and Kristen Wiig as her mother are going to be nominated for Oscars because it's just a brilliant, brilliant movie. This guy survived. Ooh, I want to see that. Okay. So I told you all about that, Mission Impossible, and that's it for me in entertainment.
Man sucked into a jet engine and survives. Well, that's different than... That's not the exact same thing we're talking about.
Oh, yeah. He wasn't sucked into the jet engine, if you haven't seen the movie.
I don't want to watch that, though.
Do you want to touch on, or do you know anything about this? I just stumbled upon this in the... you know how on Facebook, on the right-hand side, they'll have the list of trending stories? Uh-huh. Elizabeth Hasselbeck, TV host, asks why Black Lives Matter movement isn't classified as a hate group.
We are just 4 hours past me sending her hate mail.
Oh, really?
Oh, I felt
this
free to like put that on her Facebook.
Brand new information. Wait,
yeah, if you go to Elizabeth Hasselbeck's Facebook page, you will see my post probably about 100 people ago because...
According to a quote from her, how much more has to go on in this direction before someone actually labels it as such? Hasselbeck asked conservative writer Kevin Jackson Monday on the show Fox and Friends. So she thinks it needs to be...
a minute. So she thinks the hashtag Black Lives Matter and the
movement.
People,
the movement.
Right. Well, it started as a hashtag. Let's be real.
Yeah.
That is a hate group?
Yeah.
Stand by. Is there evidence? Does she have any facts involved?
Because they're talking about recent shooting of police officers, that she's saying that the Black Lives Matter campaign is inciting people to shoot police. So she thinks...
I think police being assholes is inciting people to shoot police. Like,
yeah.
There's number one.
There's kind of a little bit of a war on brown people by the police.
The free...
And now they're... Now it's...
And easy access to firearms is... helping people shoot police,
yeah,
and children and movie theaters.
I think the NRA as a hate group makes a little bit more sense.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whole lot of sense.
It's a very, very strange interaction if you watch that clip.
But unfortunately, it's being financed by leftists. Ironically, it's people that have nothing, really no concern at all about black lives, said her guest, Kevin Jackson.
Yeah, and it...
What? So they found a black guy to be against Black Lives Matter.
Of course they did. That's what Fox specializes
Fox.
In. And as someone said while we were gone, there was a someone was being ridiculed for, and it's not Bernie Sanders. It's the one that no one knows that's running for for president on the Democratic side.
Kalishi. Wait, on the Democratic side?
On the Democratic side. He's the third one running that no one remembers his name, including me.
The not Bernie Sanders guy?
Former governor of Maryland, I think. But he was the one that got in some trouble and took some heat for saying all lives matter. And it really does make you stop and think.
Martin O'Malley?
Yeah, I think it was him. I don't know.
Good stab there.
Maybe there's four.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I Googled Democratic presidential candidate and it came up with Bernie Sanders, Martin O'Malley, and Hillary Clinton.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go with Martin O'Malley.
So one of them, because Martin O'Malley and we'll say he was the person in this group. But Martin O'Malley and Bernie Sanders had their campaign stops interrupted by the Black Lives Matter people, and Donald Trump said that Bernie Sanders can't run the country if he can't run if he can't control Black Lives Matter.
Well, Donald, you're gonna run out of money before you make it to president if you're buying all your supporters.
Yeah. So O'Malley said.
It was him.
He said all lives matter, which is very true.
Yes.
And he took some flack for saying that it was insensitive at the time, which doesn't seem right. And so someone on social media and one of the pundits on the show was said, yes, all lives matter. But at this time, we're focusing on the fact that black unarmed people are being shot down in the streets. All lives matter, but at this time we're focusing on this one group of people that's being killed.
You're right.
We're focused on the girls that are being kidnapped by Hokaram.
Yeah, it's been 500 days since that.
Yeah. So all girls' lives matter, yeah. But for right now we're focusing on these kidnapped girls. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
There is a time to focus on something
it's
specific.
It's called a highlight.
Right.
Or just to highlight this group for a minute.
Yeah.
We've talked about your right wing bullshit long enough.
Let's spent 3.5 days on a motherfucker that killed a lion. Like, we can totally focus a little bit on black people who are being brutalized by the police.
Yeah. So it's an honest response, question,
for
answer
sure.
Going on. But to all
this
of a sudden to say conversation.
So far, yeah.
But to have someone say, oh, they're a hate group. Now you just left and you just got on the arc with the other crazy people.
If by a hate group you mean people that are afraid of white people in power who don't believe in facts and only believe in a mythical, magical God who only backs them up for what they want to do and who they want to hate, then yes, it's a hate group.
Yeah. It's just crazy. One of my favorite things that's on the internet right now is there's a people at a funeral looking into a grave, mm-hmm. And it's clearly a real picture of a funeral. But the caption says, "This is a bunch of people that just did not pray hard enough for their loved one."
I want that at my funeral.
Right, and Meow Kel, thank you. It's just like all cancers matter, but we have a month to focus on breast cancer.
Right.
That doesn't mean all cancers don't matter.
Soldiers are brave. Kids with cancer are brave.
Yeah. That is a brilliant, brilliant analogy of that. Thank you. Thank you, Meow. Thank you, Meow Cal, for answering my question.
Good work. Good work. Elizabeth Hasselbeck can suck it.
And she really can't. And she was a halfway normal person on The View who was...
They've just let her go
she
crazy.
She totally was. No, yeah, we
a little
loved
extreme
her on The View a little bit.
And she had full support from what's-his-butt Bill, whatever his name is. Bill Getty. Who was the producer, who was also very conservative, mm-hmm. And he wanted someone to voice his opinions on the panel.
Sure.
She was fully supported, and Barbara Walters, no one is still really sure where she lands, because she's one of those old-time journalists that doesn't give away their political leanings. Like, you really don't know from everyone she interviewed, like, what side are you on?
Oh, she backpedaled today. Did you see this?
Who, Barbara?
No, Hasselbeck.
Or Hasselbeck.
Oh, Hasselbeck. Yeah, well, she had to because...
What'd she say?
Well, because I'm going to paraphrase around. I'm going to jump around on the topic a little bit. So apparently it came up because like a chapter or someone representing the Black Lives Movement, Black Lives Matter movement in St. Paul started a chant about the police, fry 'em like bacon, pigs in a blanket.
I saw that too.
Which, I mean...
Yeah, that
we were all in junior high at one point.
Yeah, that gets you into hate speech territory.
Right, that gets you into hate speech territory. And so then Elizabeth, this afternoon, via Twitter, of course, says, my question was not my opinion, it was for my guest, and was regarding the St. Paul group, not the entire Black Lives Matter movement, calling the St. Paul group calling for the cops to be fried like bacon. So now she's like backing out of that, going, no, wait a minute.
I was taken out of context. Everyone's exactly. Favorite.
Yeah, yeah. I want to be taken out of context.
I love it. She has to backpedal because she's crazy.
Harrison.
Good call, Harrison.
I like that we've had 3 weeks to prepare for the show and we've done no preparation. No one spent any quality time.
Bit.
I meant to. Well, all my prep was taken out of context. Yeah.
So I'm going to get another glass of wine while Kat tries to make up her section.
Oh, I'm going to go my whole section.
All right, well, let's
where are we going?
Well, shit on you already.
Please do.
Let's take note that we had another scare from Rhoda Morgenstern, a.k.a. Valerie Harper, who is starring in something in Algonquin, Maine, in a musical with Sally Struthers. Just ponder on that for just a little while if you need to.
Craft Services is going crazy, at least with Sally.
Somebody up in the lighting rig.
Making muffins, and yet there's no muffins on this table.
Here's what's happening. Somebody on the lighting crew is just sitting up in the catwalk, mumbling, there's got to be something better than this.
Absolutely. I just read it.
Get up.
And it read,
get up.
I read that like an Onion headline. I have to tell you, when I read the cast of this fucking musical.
What's the musical called? I
don't know. But so it's at the Algonquin.
Girls Don't Cry.
Yeah. Big girls eat a lot of muffins. Break down big girls from the South. That like to be rode like that
muffins.
Like to be pushed like a wheelbarrow.
Muffin musical.
Ride her like a bus. Push her like a wheelbarrow.
Muffin musical Valerie. See what
I think the muffin might be my own. My own
muffin featuring Valerie Martin by Paul.
There's always something online.
If you do Valerie Muffin musical, what are you going to get?
Muffin featuring Valerie Martin by Pulp Orchestra. Muffin music from bandcamp.com.
Muffin top.
That sounds dirty.
From smock to cassock, my personal journey. Ava Jean, the squirming muffin.
From smock to cassock, my personal journey.
I love Googling.
If that's not a book title, trademark it for me, because I want that
it
to be
is.
The
it's
name
from
of my...
books.google.com.
Oh, I need wine to celebrate.
It's an autobiography written by Michael Bishop.
Valerie
Who
Harper
better be a fat girl.
Is recovering, says co-star Sally Struthers, after she fell unconscious backstage when she ran out of muffins.
Now I want muffins. Al, bring me a beer,
do
please.
Do we have any muffins? Oh, God.
Are there any muffins here? Well, why don't we stay entertainment for a minute?
Oh, she fell unconscious backstage at her musical. Nice work if you can get it. Valerie's feeling better.
Oh, that's the musical they're doing?
Yeah, nice work if you can get it. Valerie's feeling better today, Struthers said in a statement. Oh, there's a picture of her, too. Not Struthers.
Thank God. I almost looked at a picture of Sally Struthers.
At Beck or Sans Muffin?
How many cameras are on you?
Yeah.
Can you pull back a little bit? How do you feel about Cleveland?
Oh, the best part about that Friends thing is when she's Fat Monica, and he says something to her about, it's kind of like how Monica feels about mayonnaise. That's not real mayonnaise! Did I say fat-free mayonnaise, or did I just rush to the punchline?
You rushed it.
Oh, how does Monica feel about fat-free mayonnaise? That's not real mayonnaise! And then anytime Monica's in fat girl mode, she's like, I know! Okay, I didn't do it right. Do it.
I love Monica in fat girl mode. She does it in skinny girl
mode,
too.
I know!
I know. The screams at the end.
Wow.
It's like a backup and then rush.
And it doesn't matter how many times I see an episode, whenever you get one of her I knows out of her, I'm just a giggling mess.
Because you have to, even if it doesn't come with the hit, you have to visualize it comes with the hit.
Yeah.
So it's a backup. I know. And there's a hit. Yeah.
It's so fun. I love that show. It, I just miss the entire decade that show was on. They were happy, gentler times.
Happier times.
Games. You want to stay with entertainment, so go ahead. I found a new CNN story I'm going to go to.
All right.
So you breaking news.
We're not breaking.
CNN never has breaking news. I love how they break into their own story about the story that they're already telling to tell you it's breaking news.
Well, they do it on the crossover at the top of the hour. So if you're just tuning in, realize you're in the middle of something big.
Yeah.
Well, now I feel like this story is a letdown because the headline is Meet Denise, Kermit the Frog's new girlfriend.
Oh, no.
I know.
Because him and Piggy broke up.
Him and Piggy broke up over the summer. I know. The world was shocked.
It was that fry 'em like bacon line.
But there will be no moping over lost love for Kermit the Frog.
Kermit the Frog.
He's got a plush new girlfriend.
Well, they're all made out of felt.
I mean, Denise. And just in time for the start of his new show.
Push her like a wheelbarrow.
The Muppets.
Squeal like a pig.
Coming to ABC this month.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that.
Only weeks ago, we learned the shocking news. Kermit and Miss Piggy had split after 40 years of bickering and banter.
After 40 years in a truly unhappy relationship.
Coming in the midst of a spate of celebrity divorces, Ben and Jen, Miranda and Blake, Gwen and Gavin, the news was another blow to true believers in the joys of togetherness and interspecies relationships. You know, pig and frog.
So what's Denise's species?
Well, never mind. Hello, Denise, who looks kind of like you-know-who, only with reddish hair and better taste in work-appropriate apparel. Conveniently, Denise is an ABC marketing exec, and maybe even the marketing genius who dreamed up the brilliant new ploy to promote the Muppets, premiering on September 22nd.
A redheaded, an auburn-haired pig.
And slightly Asian, I think.
Oh, an Asian pig. Oh, it is.
She looks...
Oh,
vaguely Asian.
Well.
We lost Asians episodes ago.
Episodes ago. Yes.
Now we're losing felt pigs.
Asian pigs are gone.
We're losing most of the Henson creations.
How would you describe her? Felt pig.
I don't know, but the hashtags are amusing.
Slanty-eyed felt pig.
Hashtags like hashtag the frog moves on.
Hashtag
no more Miss Piggy.
Haven't we all said that at one point?
Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection. Yeah. The lovers, the dreamers, and the felt pig.
Remember that terrible joke about roller and flower and look for the wet spot?
That's how you have sex with Elizabeth Taylor.
Yeah. Anybody
just put anybody in there, Oh, well.
And we haven't even talked about Kanye running for president in 2020.
Oh, Conway and Taylor Swift. It's the Conway Swift ticket.
Conway?
Kanye, Conway.
Thanks, Elma Fudd.
Fuck you.
We need somebody to post about it on Twitty.
Oh, on Twitty. I was listening back to a show where you guys let me say that Henry Fonda invented...
The car?
The assembly line. And not one of you fuckers corrected me.
No.
When I said Henry Fonda, star of The Grapes of Wrath, in his spare time made Model T Fords. And I listened to it with this pregnant pause of like, someone's going to chime in.
Nope.
It was like Fox News at that point. I believe it was Henry Fonda, Elizabeth.
At some point, you just gotta ride the wave,
yeah.
And Ford Motor Company is a hate group,
you just
too.
Gotta, Ford Motor Company. Spreading hate.
FOMOCO is a hate group.
Oh, and this is all in close-up now, too. Hold on.
No, it's not. It's really not in close-up. In fact, you want to see how close-up it is? Look. Oh! That's how close it is. There you are.
Have 12
that's
cups far here. Enough. I guess it wouldn't be a problem.
There and you can't see anything over my forehead glowing back at you, so.
Yeah.
Welcome to my Tuesday. Blinded by the light.
And somehow the camera... Oh, there, it's coming back. It's getting better.
It's all coming back to me.
Oh. Yeah. Can I have a towel to maybe dab my forehead? In case you didn't want every bug in North America to come flying at my head.
I wish we could just yell makeup and somebody would come into the powder puff.
It is.
Oh
my God. See, it's not greasy at all, but no. God, it looks like it on camera.
No, however, the focus is really cleared up, on that shot, though. It's much better.
It's all the grease on the lens.
Are you done talking about fat Asian pigs? I meant felt Asian pigs.
Felt Asian.
Clayton, I don't think I've ever done talking about fat Asian pigs. But
the show has to be called Felt Asian Pigs, though. I insist on it.
Well, I've already gotten...
Show me on the felt
Asian pig. I've
already got
Good Job Brownie written down.
Oh, no, yeah, that's even better.
There's also the Katrina reunion tour. Yeah.
All of them are so appropriate for everything that's happened here tonight. The good, the bad, the ugly. Without a lot of good.
It's like 3 weeks of prep, nothing's ready.
Nothing's ready. I've been stirring this cornmeal for 3 weeks and there's not a muffin to be found.
Is anybody listening anywhere?
No. I believe we should
Harrison,
call it the flush.
My mom may have nodded off. I'm not sure what we're doing. If anybody's listening.
No, Meow Cal is re-examining his entire life at this point. Nero's canceling his American visa.
Listeners at all.
Oh, well, the lovely people over at the CNN, they're amending the criteria for the Republican presidential debate on September 16th.
Oh, I had that one.
Oddly, it's, September 16th is Mexican Independence Day, in case you've forgotten.
I thought it was 15th. Was the
16th.
16th?
Mm-hmm.
I stand corrected.
Possibly opening the door for Carly Fiorina to join the other top-tier candidates on the stage.
She's
the
very
cause
excited.
Of this amendment is a lack of national public polling following the August 6th debate. It has so far provided only 3 new polls to determine the lineup for the Reagan presidential debate, according to a CNN statement. As a result, CNN evaluated its criteria and has decided to add a provision that better reflects the state of the race since the first Republican presidential debate back in August.
Because in the latest one from Iowa that has our colleague, Dr. Ben Carlson,
mm-hmm.
and... Trump tied for first. Carly Fiorina is in third place.
Yeah.
So, and Jeb Bush, not in the top 7.
Oh, no. Oh, he's way...
Well, but his attack ads have yet to kick in, so calm down.
Yeah, no, but I mean, it was just amazing that in Iowa, although the Republican winner of Iowa...
Smithers.
Yeah.
his new variety show, Just Jeb.
Just Jeb. I'm my own Bush.
That laugh. Oh, and have you seen Cheney's on CNN today?
Oh, and his daughter on their book tour.
Oh, I thought it was the wife.
Stand.
Is that a daughter?
No, it's his daughter.
Oh, the cunty
if
one.
If anybody ever reminds me of Gollum, it's that man right there.
Best part was... Iran deal is terrible. Do you regret Iraq? No. Come on. Like, you got to at least concede... Well, he doesn't... Of course he doesn't regret that. He made $1 billion off that fucker.
I wouldn't regret anything I made $1 billion on either.
God, felt Asian pig.
Felt Asian pig.
You felt Asian pig.
I'm just going to write that down as a potential secondary title.
Parenthetically.
Spit take, anyway.
I just like to see how it looks when you write it.
Sure.
Felt.
Well, I would just like to say, hell of a job, Brownie. You felt Asian pig.
Good
That's
job, Brownie.
Nice.
Parenthetically, felt Asian pig.
All right.
I'm into it.
Or a fap.
I'm on it. All right, so what's the next thing we
I
can
mean,
shit on?
I mean something different.
I like how we get 20 minutes out of each one of your stories because we completely abandoned it. What was your first one?
I don't even think I had a story yet.
She hasn't had an actual story yet. All night.
Simply lava lamps and
No,
Jeb.
That's not true. I had some headlines.
Oh, did you? Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right, because I was trying to scramble
Somebody
around.
Had to, because you weren't playing.
I was playing Electric Man over here.
I had like 3 headlines already.
They were good.
Everyone better than the last.
This one just goes on the same theme of people believing shit that's not even true. Apparently, according to the Huffington Post, a majority of Republicans still
Post.
Believe that Obama is a Muslim.
Oh, yeah.
And 44% of them also still say that he wasn't born in the United States.
But then they blame him for going to the church of Reverend Wright.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's Muslim, why is he at the Reverend?
Why is he in that Weird Baptist church?
And I love it when they can't explain that, because you always have like Samantha Bee from The Daily Show interviewing people about, so how can he be at that church if he's Muslim? Like, how can both
why
be happening?
Why would he be there? It's driving me crazy. The factless fanaticism is amazing. So let's go global. I know.
Now, had we talked about Frank, and I feel like we have, but maybe not,
I feel
that
like
Frank, Pope Frank, is all about climate change now?
I didn't have that one, no. You want to go?
I don't know if we talked about that.
I don't think we did.
That it's the now the Christian imperative, that it's very important that Catholics...
I feel like he said that before we went on hiatus.
Okay, I wasn't sure if we talked about it.
But no, I'm
and with each abortion the next year, you save a glacier? Is that how this
is
going to work?
Yes, it is. One free glacier for every abortion you don't have.
All right.
Hey, two birds. No, two problems.
One elegant solution.
And Santorum, who's on the Somebody's Got to Talk to Me tour. Not only did he go on Rachel Maddow, but last Friday.
Oh, he did do Maddow, yeah.
He did Bill Maher. He sat down with Bill Maher, and Bill Maher avoided the gay questions because he felt like he had maybe, like, you know, done his...
been eviscerated and done your penance on that enough.
On Rachel Maddow. So went after him about climate change and, like, went after him about the Pope talking about climate change and him telling the Pope to stay out of politics. After every time he invokes the church in the Bible, mm-hmm. telling the head of all of these things to stay out of politics... It was a very interesting interview, and they went at it at climate change. And then he not only did he do that, but a lot of people, the conservatives that come on for that first section, don't come back for overtime, which yeah. HBO has just given up now. You know who? Overtime is now run by YouTube.
Well, sure.
It's not HBO Go anymore. Like, you don't need cable to see Overtime with Bill Maher.
Oh.
It's just been taken over. It just goes right to YouTube.
YouTube is one of the biggest networks in the world.
Right, but the fact that HBO has just embraced it and stopped expecting people to pay for HBO,
mm-hmm.
It's YouTube now.
Oh, ESPN is next, I'm hopeful.
No, but Bill Maher, the Bill Maher Show, you don't need HBO anymore. It's every episode is now on YouTube. It's kind of amazing that HBO is... I feel like they're giving up the kingdom or something. Like,
I don't think so.
I think they're embracing the fact that most of their show is stolen and it's going to end up there anyway. So, like, everybody's just embracing YouTube now in a very nice way.
Well, because they're setting us up to have to pay for YouTube. It's already out there. Like, you can rent movies through YouTube. Like, they're setting us up to do an a la carte thing through YouTube.
All right, then now I understand what
it's the crackhead's first dose is free is what's
right.
happening.
Right, like, yeah.
No, it's a long con.
That's
all
exactly
right.
what they're doing
and
to
I
us.
And I drank the fucking Kool-Aid.
You didn't even know it.
Honey, I drank it too.
Didn't even know it.
No, I'm in.
Damn it!
Free Kool-Aid. Stupid. Free Kool-Aid, no lube. Look at you.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Happy birthday! Yes!
That one's got to stay.
No lube means anal.
Boy, I really love you.
I've seen the size of your dick. Can we just get rid of the lube so one of us enjoys this?
Spit.
Did you know?
Spit take. No, I just wanted to say that Santorum showed up for overtime. Like, unlike most conservatives or people that are afraid to be on the show that only show up for the opening interview, he came back and put up with viewer questions and the open debate of real time. I was very impressed. Great. Which tells me that when he loses this election, which he's kind of in the middle of doing, he's going to be someone to go on more than just the people that lick him and smell him. He's going to go places where they don't like him. Like, I'm kind of impressed by the balls on this guy because he has a tough road to hoe, if that's the phrase. Hoe to row.
Close. Real close.
Wheelbarrow to push.
Row to hoe.
Yeah.
Yes, that's it.
And I think it's a brave choice of him to go on places where he's clearly not liked and talk and offer his opinion, however non-fact-based. So I got to give it to him.
Somewhere in the past 2-3 weeks, just because I recorded every night and I look to see who the guests are, the Tonight Show had Rachel Maddow. She was one of the guests and was on. She did a little cooking segment, a drink segment where she made a beverage called the Millionaire, I think is what it was called. But anyway, she's another one that I want to figure out how to get her here because she was just fun.
Yeah,
she was really fun. So we get Hoda Kotb, and then we get Rachel Maddow.
We haven't even talked about that yet either.
Frank Gifford.
Well, Gifford.
Oh, that's right.
What an incredibly, incredibly sad day for New York. And I forgot what a legend he was to the city of New York and up there with DiMaggio, but still alive.
Right.
And Babe Ruth, like in New York, there are very few big sports heroes, and Frank Gifford was as big as they got for the late 50s, early 60s. In those pictures of him in the cape, where he's almost a superhero, when he's wearing it's not a cape, he's wearing a rain poncho.
Yeah,
what a handsome man!
Mm-hmm.
And just how nicely they handled the tribute section to him, and how hard it was. I think it was one of the Bush daughters that's on NBC filled in for the Monday morning show.
Right.
She was about to give birth. I think she gave birth like 3 days later. Very, 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 very pregnant. And Hoda was just a disaster. And it was such honest TV. It was very, like, touching. They talked about what a part of the show he was, how they were all friends with him, and how she got off the airplane and saw the text saying, don't come by, just go home. I know you're tired. And she's like, she went right to the house. And Kathy was like, thank God you never listened to me.
Right.
But very friend. Sweet. And I thought Kathy Lee's first day back was so tough. Like,
that was tough. Yeah. But I was talking to mom just the other day. I was like, I was impressed that she's just gotten right back up on that television horse. And she's just, you know, here's, I said my piece about this. This is our life. It's what I believe. But we're moving on and I'm doing it. She's moved on.
And
not moved on. That sounds callous. I don't mean it that way. But she's just
gotten on with it.
She has gotten on with it. She accepted what had happened. And I guess, I don't know, really, she had said that he had just had a recent checkup and he was perfect bill of health. Yeah. Everything was fine, yada, yada, yada. And then another thing that I thought was so cool about the whole thing was on that Monday when she came back, Cody, their oldest son, he insisted on going to work with her. And he came to the studio, was with her, and just stood off camera, did not want to be on, nothing, just stood there to make sure she was fine.
What is he, like 30 now?
No. Cody's got to be early 20s.
He's gotta be 21, 22, yeah.
There's only way to look it up.
Remember when he was born. Cody. Yeah,
we were talking at home that that was a local show that came over our version of cable in Western New York. Like, it was on WOR or WPIX. And it was called, like, New York This Morning or Good Morning New York or
something like that.
And that she was new, that he had been by himself, and they kind of threw her in. And she was this
25 years old.
Sarcastic, funny co-host that came on before it went national. And I was kind of sad when I moved to Arizona because it hadn't gone national yet. So when I was like, oh, here's this funny woman. And then she, all of a sudden, she was, like, weirdly Christian.
Got
and a little weird with the kids. But slowly over time, how that person that she was and probably always has been came back of being like a free spirit, drinks, has a little fun, a little bit of a bully, like a little bit of a friendly bully to people, but with a glass of wine in her hand. And
hello, pot.
Yeah.
This is the kettle.
Right. So my kind of gal is what I'm saying. Clearly my kind of lady. And I really did feel for her. And then, you know, of course, she was a great friend of Donna Summer. And when Donna Summer died, she was too sad to talk about it. So they just finished the show with a clip of her. And she was just like, so I really was kind of in her corner with that. But it was weird to see the tributes, to be in New York and see the tributes to him. And what a big, big star he was. And how gracious he was to, like, kind of concede the spotlight to her in the end after he left Monday Night Football. And Monday Night Football left ABC, but such a huge part of our childhood, Monday Night Football, whether you watch football or not, you were kind of you were kind of forced into
it was totally my dad's thing. Like, Sundays and Mondays were football, and that recliner was up,
and Monday night was only one game, so there was no choice. And
mom was also talking about the fact that back in the day when Cosell was, I mean, he was the commentator, he was sports, he was the ABC sports commentator, that he used to kind of be a dick to everybody else, but he didn't touch Frank Gifford. Let Gifford just be what he wanted to be,
because he was the obnoxious pushy guy. Then Don Meredith was like the hick that was there that just knew football, and Frank Gifford was the everybody loves me, I'm the great shining star that's going to lead these two morons through to the end of this show. So it was a fun dynamic, but that was very sad. So that's part of the death den too, that I never saw coming, even though he looked like Skeletor and he was 110 years old.
Yeah.
But when they were talking about his legacy and just how big of a star he was, I was like, wow, it's one of those people that just kind of like when B.B. King, when we talked about B.B. King, like, here's someone that's so big, but you kind of forget the influence. So please tell a story, because I just keep talking over you. Welcome back.
You're okay. Well, I mean, welcome to the show. All right. I've got a couple of fun facts from around the world, as it turns out. In this, the year of our Lord, 2015, for the first time ever.
As an atheist. Yeah. I like how we throw that in. The year of our Lord.
Well, it's based on the calendar.
Because it's fun to say.
Before Christ. The Gregorian calendar.
It's fun to say. Women are allowed to vote and participate in elections in Saudi Arabia for the first time this year.
Yeah. Wow. Oh. They still can't drive a car. Good luck getting to the polls. But once you get there, honey, you can vote.
Women in Saudi Arabia will be allowed to vote and run for office in the nation's upcoming municipal elections. Approximately 70 women are running as candidates in the December 2015 election, and nearly 80 women have registered to be campaign managers.
Will they have a female leader before the U.S. does? This is the question.
That frightens me.
But maybe. It's possible, yeah.
Maybe. What else? I kind of touched on this a little bit earlier. Remember hashtag bring back our girls?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yep.
500 days.
Hoko.
The Boko Haram.
Boko Haram.
Yep. on Thursday.
I keep wanting to say Procol Harum is what I keep wanting to say.
Not today, but this last Thursday, Nigeria marked 500 days since the militant group Boko Haram kidnapped over 200 schoolgirls from their government school. The militants captured 276 girls from the school on April 14th, 2014. Only 57 of the girls were able to escape from their captors, but the rest of the students remain missing. According to Boko Haram, the girls have been married off and converted to Islam.
Wow. Girls' lives matter. I mean, that's
right.
Sounds like a hate group.
Yeah.
Well, Elizabeth Hasbeck would say it's a girls
Elizabeth
group.
Would say.
Elizabeth's still on the fence, as it turns out.
A white woman that nobody wants to kidnap would say that. Right.
How would you describe yourself? A white woman that no one wants to kidnap?
That's you.
I know.
Those of us with Twitter attention spans, you have to think back.
42 characters?
Right.
Yeah.
140.
I'm sorry. I sit corrected.
Every one of those characters is important.
Let me write that down.
Fat, felt pigs
and 140 characters.
But if you remember, this is what prompted the hashtag Bring Back Our Girls. Nigeria was up in arms, rightfully so, in the streets, protesting, searching, trying to find something to do. Turns out there was nothing to do, and the girls are still missing.
And no one came to their aid. Because no one came to their aid.
Nobody came to their aid.
Because girls' lives don't matter, unfortunately.
Well, not unless they're blonde.
Yes.
And what else? I love the internet. 1 billion, that's right, billion with a B, people logged into Facebook in a single day. Just yesterday, on Monday, for the first time ever, 1 billion individual users used Facebook in the same day. Meaning one out of every 7 people on the planet logged in and were active. One out of every 7 people on the planet logged in and were active on the social network at some point on Monday. Mark Zuckerberg is thrilled.
Yeah. I'm sure.
Clearly. Yeah.
Update.
Yeah. He posted the following on his own Facebook page. He said, "We passed an important milestone. For the first time ever, 1 billion people used Facebook in a single day."
Wow.
Order more servers. I mean, he's got to be... That's insane.
That is insane. He says he's so proud of our community for the progress we've made. Our community stands for giving every person a voice, for promoting understanding, and for including everyone in the opportunities of our modern world.
Wow. But 1 in 7 people on the planet. I can't get over
on
that.
On the planet.
Is there any information within your story that says how much of that was cat videos?
That's who got onto YouTube.
My producer is talking to me.
I wish I had a fucking producer talking to me.
Wait. They say a third.
A third. No. Yeah.
One
fair.
Third.
I think it's fair.
Yeah. One third. So that's one out of every 21 people on the planet logged in to watch a cat video of some sort.
Got it.
Look at me being all about math. What else do I have? What else? Ancient temples in Syria being destroyed by ISIS.
That's crap too. I saw that. And the fact somebody did an aerial shot of before and after.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just
destruction for the sake of destruction. And I don't care what flag you're flying.
No, I'm the same way. I don't get it. I mean, this is the one who likes to protect everything. Oh my God. I also found out that there's a vacuum collectors club. Anyway, but total side note. It was a
wait. No. I want to know more about your club.
It's not my club. I just saw that there was a club that gets together annually, and they all compare and talk about the technology of vacuums.
How do you join?
Well, I'm sure you have to load up a vacuum and take it with you.
You got
to
vacuum something.
Sounds like that sucks.
You got to show a video of you vacuuming.
There it was.
Making sweet love to the vacuum.
sweet love. What else did I Pinterest over here today?
Come on, you gotta have something else.
I gotta have some other shit.
We got 28 more minutes to fill, and then somewhere in there we're going to do this thoughtless vulgarity.
Right. Thoughtless.
All right. Riddle me this. How do you feel about the prospect of a self-driving car?
How some people I know in the world drive, I would love to have
I know you're looking at me. Mm-hmm. Try something.
I wasn't looking at you. Not directly.
Exactly.
I was looking
at one of your cameras.
I was looking at something.
He was looking at Washington State over there.
No, I was looking at something in the room he's in.
Still hot.
Ow.
Stop making me touch California. It burns.
Show me on the map where it burns.
Oh, Harrison, I'll find the meeting and I'll put some sort of a...
We're gonna do a GoFundMe to get Clayton's first year
dues. A vacuum monitor. No, I do not have a dirt devil, Jenny. I'm sorry. I do not stoop to those levels.
I will not be demeaned in
not
this way.
Not to a dirt devil. God damn it.
I'm a never. Dirt demon, madam.
Kirby or bust.
Oh, not those heavy motherfuckers. God damn.
What? You can't kill those. I sucked up an entire cat one time, and that motherfucker was just in the back.
Well, based on the bissel that I have currently, I vacuum up enough hair to make another cat.
No, I mean an actual cat.
Oh, yeah. I went all the way through. I went all clear through.
My pussy's in the bag now.
Spinning in the wind tunnel.
No, because my mother, she probably still has it. She had a solid steel Kirby.
Oh, yeah, they still make them.
Yeah.
If Monica,
but
what's
from
her name?
1940.
If Mariah, what Merle? The fuck is it? Mernie was here.
Rose.
Rose. If Rose was here.
She's going to listen and get real mad.
Let the cat out of the bag. The pun was too easy, you know what I mean?
That was good.
Merle over there would be having a field day with that one. Monica / Merle. Hey, if you don't show up, I don't have to learn your name.
I know! Come on.
Self-driving car, do you trust Google or not?
Absolutely not.
No? What if it follows all of the traffic laws, obeys all traffic laws?
Just anything would be a better driver than Harrison or I. Hmm? Let me just throw that out there. Sorry. I hate to throw you under the bus, Harrison, but you probably backed into it already.
But you but you self-surrendered yourself on that, so you're...
Well, Google...
Can I operate the radio by myself?
Yes.
Is that a fair question?
The jukebox.
Yeah.
Yes.
Then I'm in. If the car will drive and I can run the radio, then I think... It's a marriage made in heaven, really.
I believe we can even install a satellite radio for you.
Elizabeth has... I have my own music. Satellite radio's not giving me anything I don't already have.
I love it. I'm into it. Well, Google has been, testing and prototyping, and they keep putting these cars out there.
Mm-hmm.
And as it turns out, after test after test after test, the only thing that really fucks with the Google cars...
Other cars.
Bad drivers.
No, are actual people.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because they try to drive...
Well, no, because they're putting it on the California roadways. They're putting this self-driving vehicle out there and saying, okay, well, how does it do? And it every time it gets into an accident, it's because somebody hits it.
Mm.
Oh.
Google car.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah.
So what would have saved the accident? Another driverless car.
Right. So Google car.
I want to live on that island.
Yeah.
Approaches a crosswalk, appropriately slows down, identifies that there's a walker.
A walker. Oh, I like it.
Pedestrian. Entering the crosswalk, a pedestrian entering the crosswalk, Google car appropriately stops
and gets rear-ended.
Yeah,
saw that coming.
Google car
may or may not have been the rear ender
at a busy four.
Happy. It's your birthday.
It's your birthday.
Walker means anal.
Yes.
Yeah. In. Indeed, sir.
Absolutely no alcohol in my system, and I'm laughing as if I'm wasted. I don't know.
Because we're that fucking funny.
I am exhaling in your direction.
All right, there we go. All right.
When you listen to the second half of the show, it's pretty funny.
So, and we'll get to it for reals next week. I just, I haven't even drank a whole bottle of wine. I must actually be funny.
no, we get that's to not for true. Reals? I'm going to finish this story. It's only like... two other points long. Go.
Oh, I thought you were done.
No.
No.
Oh, no. Pray continue, please. M'lady.
No. The car continues to get hit in the ass on its birthday.
Are you trying to thoughtful vulgarity us?
No.
Oh, that's we'll way too there. Early for that. We'll get there. There's only three of us. For fuck's sake.
Boy, can we fill 9 hours. How long have we been here?
Since 6:30.
Since Monday. Yeah, now it's been shit on.
God, you
only had two more points.
You rolled over and gave up like New Jersey. What the hell was that?
I actually only have one other point.
Okay. Make it.
I thought
you fought for it. Damn it!
I thought it fairly amusing because the other instance that they cited in this particular article for how people fuck up with Google Car is that Google Car then comes to a busy four-way stop sign intersection. And gets paralyzed because no one will come to a complete stop. No, I'm serious. Because you're supposed to wait until all the other drivers have come to a complete stop, and then you go in like a counterclockwise kind of a way, right? Everybody to the right, to the right, to the right, to the right. Apparently, people with the slow and go just paralyzes Google Car. Like, cannot.
Oh, they have to figure that technology out.
Yeah, they're going to have to figure that out about how to make Google Car like a little Google bit more aggressive.
Google's going to do a little rolling stop.
Yeah, do a little creeping look.
Ooh, creeping look. Another birthday.
It's your birthday.
It's your birthday.
All right, now what was so important that you were interrupting story?
Well, I had to because you said Walker like three times. So, Fear the Walking Dead.
Oh, it just started, didn't it?
Started. The first episode was a little bad, a little bit on the negative side of Rotten Tomatoes, but the second episode really, really brought it home. They got the like creepy slowness of the Walking Dead, the character development, like just that dread of who's gonna die and who's gonna stay. But as Black Lives Matter, as every one of my friends pointed out, either via text message or Facebook or somewhere else, like, why
was it like the first five people to die were black people?
Yeah, like why do the black guys always die? And it's been happening on The Walking Dead all the time. Like, well, if two black males talk on The Walking Dead, one of them will be dead
by
the end.
Yeah, right.
And so at one point they had three named characters on The Walking Dead that were black men.
Mm-hmm.
Not in an episode later, they were back down to one. Yep. Like, they assumed, like, it just can't happen.
Right.
And it's very strange. And then Fear of the Walking Dead had three named black characters. They killed off all three of them. So now it's an all-white cast. Well, I mean, heavily Hispanic.
Okay.
A good Hispanic presence. But it
black
is...
Black Lives Matter.
But it is funny...
Tastes better.
That, you know how you always notice in horror movies that the black kid always dies
first? Always
first,
yeah.
And the girl who gives
and
it up...
And Scream makes fun of it.
Yeah. Like, and, you know,
the black kid's like,
the sluttiest girl dies first. You know what I mean? It fits every stereotype. But the fact that they did it subtly and that everyone noticed, like, this is kind of uncomfortable, but they just killed off
all the
named
black
characters.
Gone.
So that was that. But it is worth watching. Just sit through the first episode, get through that. The pilot was a little rough.
28 hours later, Marnie Ryer has acquired power again at her house. I don't know if she's listening to any of this shit, but she just said that she has power.
I would guess no.
And that may, now she says 22 hours later. That means that the her power outage happened 4 hours after mine did. Mine was at like 7:35-ish, 7:45-ish.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a big change in...
That is for just being across town.
Yeah, I mean, the storm lingered over me for a long, long time. Like, you know, our storms last, what, maybe 15 minutes at the most.
Right.
So to have one go for, like, half of So You Think You Can Dance. So You Think You Can Dance.
Lot.
We talked about that. Amazing. Yaya for the win, I think. Yaya and Virgil. This whole team street, team stage, phenomenal. If you're not watching it's on Hulu. But my boyfriend, Robert... I can't remember his last name. He is the sexiest motherfucker on planet fucking Earth. I love him so, 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 so much. Such a fan. He keeps coming back as an all-star, and every time he gets sexier and pulls his pants down just a little lower. Let me get you a picture there, Clayton.
Get us a picture of that. Why's it got to be for Clayton? Maybe I want to see.
God. Everyone.
Oh, that one. Holy mother. Robert Roldan?
Yes. Good times, great oldies.
I'm on board.
Hot, hot fucking hottie.
Oh.
And you can't rate on his page, so I can't pledge my eternal love to him every single day.
Perhaps you could send him a strongly worded letter.
Reach out and touch.
Yes, somebody's privates. Anyways. Oh, and, it's my birthday, Robert.
Oh.
And I'm going to get bendy so we can do it from the front.
Yes.
How long do you think that's going to take?
A couple years.
Try yoga.
First, I got to see my toes, then I got to touch my toes, and I get my toes up to me. It's really a chemical process in at least three steps.
There's a lot going
on. Feels like
on.
A lot is happening.
It's
going
to be part of my poop journal. My poop blog.
I think I just peed. I think you just made me pee.
My poo log.
Speaking of which,
Robert, I hope you're part of my poo log.
I gotta check my poop log.
Have you gone
since we've been on that I need to worry about your journal entries?
There are no photographs added to the poop log.
Oh, but I can.
No.
Look.
No.
Oh, now Harrison says she's enjoying So You Think You Can Dance, and she's usually not a fan. I have to tell you, because there's no other talent show that has as much talent as So You Think You Can Dance.
And
I can attach a photo
and a
to
note.
Each blog entry.
A note.
Log the bottom one. Log the poop.
I just love attached note. Corn out. I was reading my diary from yesterday, and all it says is corn out.
Oh, God.
Which is so vulgar. I'm just going to... I was going to read the chat room, but now all I'm going to do is stare at pictures of Robert.
Back up 2 weeks and the diary says corn in.
Which, if you're keeping a proper poop log, that's a long time to wait for the corn.
Oh, does that have anything to do with Lincoln logs?
Where was the corn all that time?
I have some.
I'm sure President Lincoln does not approve of that message.
I feel like... No.
Now, a guy that I used to sleep with in high school.
Okay.
Who shall remain nameless?
Mark, Rick, or Steve?
The fourth gay name on that list. Is allegedly heterosexual
Orlando?
Now.
Oh.
Yes, his name is Orlando. That's it. That's the name.
Orlando?
But like, we can't start that rumor either because there was an Orlando on my block who still sometimes lives on my block.
Al was known as Jenny from the block.
Not the gay Orlando from the block. The other one.
Yeah, the other Orlando. But he's one of two people that I know that like this guy's page. And you're not liking this guy's page because you're... I mean, you could be a fan of the dance. He's a beautiful dancer. But
what's his name again?
Robert Ralden. Just Google image him because he sometimes models. But oh my God, in the outfit he wore last night to dance in, I needed a moment to myself, to quote Macy Gray.
All right. It was a sexual revolution.
Just don't get it on the drapes.
Right. Exactly.
No, Jenny, he's not the coach. He is the all-star that danced with Haley, the blonde girl. And he had the black outfit on. And at the end of the dance, he pulled his pants down even lower than they should have been.
Well, he doesn't... Oh, that's his official fan page. Where's his official page?
No, you can't get to it.
Well, his official fan page is there.
But if you watch the thing that I post every 6 months where the finale from last year where they do the...
What is he going to Robert what?
Ralden. Oh, Jesus Christ. What is it? It's by... Oh, Jesus Christ. Fuck
it's
me.
It's probably not by Jesus Christ. Yeah. I feel like he hasn't written
it's from his
a long
singing
time.
Career. It's a thing. Anyways.
Well, you like both of his pages, I see.
I like anything that he touches because he is one hot, hot, hot motherfucker.
Well, let's see if I can't like him.
I'm into it.
Let's find this song.
It's your birthday. It's your birthday.
From your mouth to God's ears.
It's your birthday.
Okay, now we're just killing time, but I have a
happy, happy birthday.
Wow.
Any way we can get to this.
You went that way.
I gotta find out.
I like it more as a
sweet
surprise.
Disposition by the Temper Tramp. The Temper Trap. Sweet Disposition is the number from the finale last year of of So You Think You Can Dance, and it's where they do the clock, and it's a kiss song, and the dance that they do to that, and Robert is in it, and at the end, because he's in a suit, and you find out the cheat is that he's wearing his dress shirt is really a tank top with a collar.
Okay.
Because when he does the big reach over and does that really hot move that they do at the end, you see that he's cheating the suit, and you get to see that beautiful chest and arms, and oh my God, I love him so much.
He sounds nice.
And they bring him back every week for one of the All-Stars. And he makes my pussy wet. he's my celebrity crush. Pedophilia is not funny. He's in his 20s, Jenny. Oh, I got you. The kid, the person I had sex with in high school. Yeah, but he's in his 40s now. We're good.
Yeah, he was right.
Yeah.
I think they were...
It was a Romeo... Yeah, I got you.
Right. Moving on.
It had to be played at some point.
Yeah, it's got to be done.
It's your birthday.
I just think it's. Good Lord. I gotta isolate just that part where it's your birthday. It's your birthday. I have to do it. That's a long intro. These black people have long intros on.
Okay, and because I'm so white, I didn't know what song that was. I thought you were playing Jenny from the Block.
No. That's a good song too. I'm pretty sure you're on loop at this point. What are you doing?
No, it's the fucking video. It goes
Is
on.
Is it the official video? Some crappy YouTube remix
forever.
Bullshit.
Hang on. When's it going to get to the...
Like eight more counts. Here we go.
I'm hoping. We're running out of video.
Wait for it. Go, there it is. See, I told you like eight more counts.
Go, shorty. It's your birthday. We're going to party like it's your birthday. We're going to sip a Bacardi like it's your birthday.
Oh, it's his birthday. Oh, birthday.
Yes.
I'm not sure, but in that song, is it your birthday?
I don't know.
Are you shorty?
According to chorus 2, you can find me in the club, bottle full of bub.
I do enjoy the pub.
Look, mommy, I got the X. If you into taking drugs, according to this, I'm into having sex and into making love. So come give me a hug if you're into getting rubbed. It's your birthday. It's your birthday.
See? It's your birthday.
I don't want to get rubbed, though. I'm going to need it all the way in.
All right.
Is that wrong?
Well, this has got
Is that wrong?
I feel like that comes in the sequel. Like, that's the B-side.
It comes in the sequel, like so many of us.
So many.
Oh, my God. Di is listening, and she says, Monica Merle. She just sent me a text. She said, Monica Merle is listening.
I got a text from Merle, and Merle told me she's listening, too.
Oh, oh no. Okay. now Merle is saying that she's using Di's phone. That's cheating.
Oh, cheaters.
Cheaters.
We
are so happy that your power is on, because that going into a third world country is rough times.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it really
dark times.
It gets third world country really fast when you don't have power. You're living in a big city, you can drive to a restaurant, but when you go home, like, it's 105 degrees with 60% humidity. It's miserable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're singing One Day More at your backyard wall to the neighbor, and they don't like it.
Look down.
I had to go around the house and make sure all the timers were calibrated again to all the right times, because I can't have all the lights coming on and off wrong. Mm-hmm. I'll have to be right.
So I don't know if my timer lights came on at the right time.
Go through and I fix all of it. There's a lot going on with
it. But again, they're going to be like 5 to 10 minutes late.
Yeah.
Gay time.
Got any more? Are we going to go into the thoughtless vulgarity?
I stretched it as far as I could.
You did?
It's your birthday.
We have stretched this penny as far as we can, let me tell you.
It's your birthday.
For a show where three people did zero prep, I feel like we did a good job.
Monica Merle, we miss you, because you had stuff to do here tonight.
Who knew you were in charge of content tonight? We miss you.
Who indeed? Who indeed? Let's try.
But it's usually easier to make her pee than you, so that was good.
It was a triumph.
Been out of practice. Okay, we're going to
peeing? I'm just kidding.
I'm getting older.
All right.
I have the urge, but I can't make the splurge.
Poop log.
Oh, is there an amended?
The Chinese star. It hurts so much coming out. I'm gonna throw it at you.
I feel like we could get a number one on there.
I forget. Oh, what was the other one? Poophoria. Poophoria. The one that feels so good.
I do like Poophoria.
I guess I missed that one. I got the Chinese star though. Oh God.
Well, because my page kept reloading, which is not a metaphor. So.
Oddly, which because it's usually a metaphor. I wonder if I can share this to social media.
Oh God, I'm sure you can. But in while she's trying to figure that out,
I want to add a pretend log.
Yeah, play one thing while I think of something.
Well, they're all figuring that out.
To ask you, dirty fuckers.
We'll figure this out.
And now, thoughtful vulgarity, where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow. Which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when important questions come up several hours after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? Good luck.
Wait a minute.
I'm being poo shamed.
Okay. Okay.
If you thought slut shaming was bad, wait till poo shaming becomes a part of
During the intro of this segment, we just got this just out.
We got breaking poo. Breaking poo.
So Kat decided to click on the take a photo on the poo log, and it gave her an advisory. What does it say?
It came up with a little warning. It says, it's your first photo ever. Would you like to hide your poop log photos from the Android gallery?
Yes.
I feel like, I don't know, because first of all, I feel like I'm being poo shamed.
Well, with the first...
I feel like, shouldn't I be proud of it? I made it.
Okay, I'm stealing this joke from someone else today.
Please
but
do.
I think you should put on, hey, it's gluten-free.
My poo is definitely not gluten-free, let me tell you what.
Oh, it's like gluten in, gluten out.
The amount of pastry that this bitch eats? No. Look. Yeah. I had breakfast mac and cheese this Sunday.
Oh, let me tell you about it. Let's make this the quickest little thoughtful vulgarity.
So that you can tell us about food?
Yeah.
All right, go.
Tell me about Merle Monica, you go first. Oh, she's not here. I love Merle
I know!
Monica.
That
was it.
Precisely.
I know. How do you feel about fat-free mayonnaise? Them. It's not mayonnaise.
She shows them every time, doesn't she?
I know. She's a hitter for sure.
All right, what food would you seriously like get on a plane and fly away for?
To get or from? To get away from or to go to?
To go to. Like, what's something that you would just like seriously like? There's I don't care how you get here. We're just going to get here and
just
eat it.
Just get here and eat it if you can.
I can Google this and find out they're still open. There was a restaurant back in Tulsa that used to be called Taco Bueno, and I loved their food. I wouldn't really probably fly back for it, but I was when I had.
But it's worth Googling, so I'm thinking you're thinking about it.
I feel like it's worth. Yeah, absolutely.
Taco Bueno official site. Stand by. I'll see.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Because on How I Met Your Mother, there's the pizza place in Chicago.
Oh, my God, the pizza place. That's right. Where
that they
drive
to, but
forever.
It gives them, like, horrible gas and diarrhea.
Yes. That sounds terrible. I'm not going to choose that place. I feel like I'm such a fat kid with, like, a sweet tooth and, like, desserts. And then I just said pastry, so now I'm thinking, like, croissants and chocolates and... I feel like I'm getting on a plane to go to France to just eat my weight in pastries and drink all of the wine.
May I just tell you, pain au chocolat.
I love it.
And where's fucking Richard when I pronounce something right? Where's that motherfucker?
Motherfucking Richard.
Because let me tell you what I know how to say in French. Pain au chocolat.
Pain au chocolat.
Because
it's amazing. And
warm and gooey. That is so worth looking like you shit your pants.
For real.
Down the front of
like
you.
Like all over the face.
Like it was your birthday on your face.
There's actually a little. There's a little.
Wow!
I'm not even sure. What
oh
it
my
was.
God! Not on the first date.
Fish finger casserole. Oh. Can I see the fish?
Wait! No, she's from Finland. No, that's legit. No, that's okay. Don't make fun.
Fish have fingers.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
So sure. Do chickens.
Oh, Harrison brings up a smoked salmon sandwich she had. Smoked salmon sandwich she had in Seattle while Sally was selling seashells by the seashore. And I have to tell you, I would, Harrison, on that same maybe sentimental journey, I would go to the smoked salmon that we had in, wait for it. Oh, no, we were in Vancouver. We were in Alaska at the salmon hatchery place.
Mm-hmm.
And we had salmon everything. They were giving it away like with your coffee.
Because there's
we had salmon
it,
coffee,
right?
And it was delicious.
Yeah.
Anyways, go ahead. What are we talking about?
There is
I don't know. Pastries and shit.
Cream cheese wontons, Aida espresso. Am I pronouncing that right? And strawberry torte. I'm pronouncing that right.
Yeah. Espresso is correct. No, you know what? So much of the food that I crave is like home-cooked stuff. It's like family recipe kind of junk. So I kind of just make it myself. So like if there was a legitimate meal that I purposefully like get on a plane to go have, it's Thanksgiving at my mom's house.
Oh, that's good. That's a good answer.
If there's a dream meal, it's all of the chocolate and pastries in France.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I went to Switzerland and ate my way through those people.
I believe it.
Because that was... They had cheese and chocolate.
My two, like, number one and number two food groups.
Yeah, I could have left there dead and been perfectly content.
Yeah.
You could have hijacked my ass and ran me into the ground. I wouldn't have given a rat's ass. I would have Monica and Chandler'd that plane ride.
You'd be like, that's your birthday!
Too fat to fuck or kidnap is how that story ends. Clayton McKee?
I like it. Are you going to Taco Time? Where are you going?
Taco
no, but
Bueno.
I found it. But Taco Bueno, it's still
that
open.
That means good taco.
In Tulsa, Oklahoma, they're still there. So I might at some point
find
my way back to the taco. Old Taco Bueno. I used to eat there. We had open campus for lunch in high school, so we used to go there occasionally and eat, which made the latter half of the day interesting.
places I don't want to have
I
a
didn't
poop
have
log.
A poop log.
You have a lot of stories about places you don't want to have a poop log this month. August is the no poo log.
No.
That almost sounds German. My poo log.
Hold him if you got him.
We're going to lock you up in my poo log.
I like it.
Which actually sounds like a nice warm place.
It does. Well, it is a little warm.
Body temperature.
Ketchikan. It was Ketchikan, Alaska that we had the salmon everything.
Oh. if I weren't so close to her, I think I would agree with you that getting on a plane and going for mom's home cooked anything would probably be what I would fly home for. But it would be, I think mom will understand this because I'm certainly not dissing. I love my mom's cooking, but there's still something, and I'll never ever have it again in my life. It's because there was something about the way my grandmother made breakfast, and I don't know what in the hell it was. Mm-hmm. There was some flavor. I don't know if it was the pans, if it was it could have been that.
And I'm going to, dollars to donuts, the bacon grease was kept in a can and reused, and she never cleaned the skillet.
Because like that made for can.
Maybe. Because there was something.
Exactly, Folgers can, depending on
there was
on
something
your...
about the way breakfast tasted that my mom's mom made. And I don't know, there was just something about it. But if I could get on a plane and fly anywhere for that, I would. In a heartbeat.
I would say dollars to donuts, hand to God. I would bet you the frying pan never got washed and the bacon grease was kept in a coffee can to be reused.
That's so funny, though, because I recently made fried eggs and toast, just because it's quick and easy and whatever. And there was something about it, instantly I was thinking of my grandma's kitchen. I was like, what is it about? Seriously, it's a fried egg and two slices of toast.
Right.
But you can get
anywhere.
But yeah, I was like,
but there's something.
There was something about it that was like my grandma's kitchen. Which is so funny because I don't think she ever made me fried eggs and toast. Or not a lot, anyway.
Well, I'm going to go somewhere non-sentimental.
Please
although,
do.
Although laying in bed on Saturday mornings and when my sister would make sauce and just smelling the onions and garlic sautéing and then the tomatoes going in, just that smell of the start of the sauce and knowing that my dad was going to go and buy the Italian bread from the Italian bakery. Just down the street that I still stop in every time I go home. I will fly across country to get that fucking bread and pizza from DiCamillo's bakery. But that smell in the morning. And then, did you use all the bread dipping the bread in the sauce? Well, of course I did. That's what the bread is for.
Isn't that why we bought the bread?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you should have bought a second loaf. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you, Merle? But I used to love that question. Oh, the bread's gone. Because we're standing in a circle around the pot of sauce, you motherfuckers.
Figured out.
Yeah. And especially since the person asking me where the bread was has like a piece sticking out of their mouth.
Has spaghetti sauce stains all down their front.
Listen, fat girl, I know who did it. But the one that I'm willing to fly back for, right this second, and I know the flight left 10 minutes ago, but I'd still get on it. In P-Town at this restaurant called Anchor Bar that I've bitched about for years because I don't like going there. And I've never been a fan of macaroni and cheese. Because I don't like plain white cheese. Like, I never find the cheese to be very good.
I feel like we can't be friends.
But now that I found all these people that do Gruyere and they add all this fancy shit to it, all these flavorful cheeses, all of a sudden I'm back on board. I love cheese. I just don't like that mac and cheese powdered crap.
All right.
They have a fresh lobster meat with a five cheese mac and cheese that comes in a casserole bowl, just filled with cheeses and macaroni and fresh lobster that I would stab you in the face to get back to. And after a year, after 3 years and 18 trips to this restaurant and bitching about the food, finally my vacation buddy, Ryan, who we buddied up the first day and traveled together as a pack, we kept splitting things to try different things. And like, all right, I'm going to get the swordfish steak, you get the mac and cheese, and we'll kind of, we'll do the, it's a lovely entree, a little half mac and cheese. We weren't expecting a whole casserole dish to come out that fed eight.
Wow.
We barely shared. It was so delicious. So just imagine while you listen to the soft, gentle music of, what's his name?
Whatever.
It's your birthday!
Robert.
It's your birthday! Hey,
beautiful,
shorty.
Beautiful Robert dancing while you have lovely cheeses and macaroni and lobster swirling around your mouth with a halfway decent glass of Chardonnay.
Was there something else that you wanted to add after this point of the deal, or no?
No, that was it. Okay. I just wanted to hear.
We just wanted to talk about food. I like it.
Oh, because I thought there was something else you had to add. I couldn't remember.
I thought we were going to rush through this to get to something else. Oh.
Well, we'll never know.
Well, we're over time.
No, that really, it really just came to me at the last minute.
I just thought there was another point that you had. I wasn't sure what it was. Oh, my heaven's sakes. Well,
if we fucked that part up, then we're right. We've stayed consistent.
Another show full of technical mishaps and errors and poorly pronounced words and a poo-log. So all these things accumulating into one big show. Welcome back. It's the beginning of what we're calling season 4, or the first day of the hostage situation.
Spoiler alert, you're the hostage.
It would be great if you would come back and see us next week. It'd also be great if most of the equipment in this room would work. But until then, we will leave you by saying...
See you next Tuesday,
fuckers. I did it again and again and again.
Should we try one more time before you turn it off?
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America.